test. Can the folks listening online, LIO, operator, can you hear us?
We can hear you online, Lieutenant Governor.
Thank you very much. I'm going to call this hearing to order. This is a public hearing on Ballot Measure 2, an act to tax and regulate the production, sale, and use of marijuana. If you're listening online, or if you have people who would like to listen online, there's a couple of ways to do that. One is to dial in on the statewide 800 number, 855-463-5009. You could text that to people if you want to do that. If you can go to the official Facebook page of the Lieutenant Governor, Alaska Lieutenant Governor Meade Treadwell, and click the link in the most recent post, that camera there is live streaming this interview or this hearing. There's also, AKL.ly, AKL.tv, and that will also get you an audio stream of it, of the hearing. We've got 2 hours laid out for this hearing, and we may go over time, and if so, we'll take a break at 6 o'clock for about 15 minutes. I'd like to tell you our agenda today is fairly simple. I will present a summary of the legislation, as well as a sectional analysis of the bill and a cost estimate of the bill. Then we will have the pro side speak for 10 minutes, and that will be represented by Dr. Tim Hinterberger on the pro side, and Christina Wolston will be speaking on the negative side for 10 minutes. Then I'm going to invite you and all of you represent your voters who actually will help make the decision on whether or not this bill becomes law. And as in any legislative hearing, you have the right to state your position for or against the bill, ask questions of experts who may be online from the state side to be answered about the bill, or otherwise clarify the intent of the bill with the sponsors. So with that, I'll begin the hearing on this point of the agenda. Cameron, I'm going to ask you to click for me. That's the agenda, and we can go to the summary of the proposed bill. There's a copy of the bill, and a copy of the cost estimate, and a copy of the legal opinion about the bill on the table in the back of the room. This bill would tax, regulate the production, sale, and use of marijuana in Alaska. It would make the use of marijuana legal for persons 21 or older, allowing them to possess, use, display, purchase, or transport up to 1 ounce of marijuana. It would impose various restrictions on personal cultivation, public use, and operation of marijuana-related facilities. It would allow the legislature to create a marijuana control board in the Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development. It imposes an excise tax on the sale or transfer of marijuana and provides for the enforcement and administration of that tax. Section by section, the first section adds a new chapter to to Alaska Statute 17.38, Regulation of Marijuana, to the Alaska Statutes. And the statute would provide that the production and sale of marijuana should be regulated and taxed, that businesses could sell marijuana, and that such sales should be conducted in a manner that protects consumers and promotes public health and safety. The statute would limit the use, sale, growth, and transport of marijuana to individuals who are 21 years of age or older and imposes penalties for public consumption. The statute would allow for the creation of a marijuana control board while still allowing for local government to make decisions regarding its use and regulation. Section 2 adds a new chapter, Alaska Statutes 43.61, an excise tax on marijuana. This statute would impose a $50 per ounce excise tax on the sale or transfer of marijuana from a marijuana cultivation facility producer to a retail marijuana store, a distributor, or a marijuana product manufacturing facility. The producer would be responsible for paying the tax. Monthly tax statements would be required by the Department of Revenue from each marijuana cultivation facility. And if these taxes were not paid, the facility would be subject to civil penalties under Alaska Statute 43.05.220. There are a number of other features to the legislation which I believe will come out in this hearing, and as I say, there's a copy of the legislation as well as a cost estimate in the back of the room. Let me explain that this bill, because it's up on the ballot, can't be amended right now, and it cannot be vetoed by the governor if the voters pass it. An initiated law, if this measure wins, it becomes effective 90 days after certification. So presumably we'll have the results of the election in with absentee ballot measures and so absentee ballots counted, question ballots counted by the middle of November. And so if this bill passes, it would be effective in the middle of February. Although the legislature may amend an initiative at any time after it's enacted, any amendments made during the first 2 years cannot operate to repeal the initiative effectively or to vitiate the intent. And there's been a number of different legal cases on that issue. That should be understood. This cost estimate on the bill actually looked at a number of ways that the bill would have to be implemented, and we have experts on from various state agencies who would be working to implement the bill if the electorate passes it. At the Department of Revenue, because there's a new tax that would come with this, they estimate that it would need to create at least three new positions to oversee the new excise tax, with recurring annual costs of about $300,000. Contractual services, the Department of Revenue estimates that it would need a one-time expense of $500,000 to configure their tax revenue management systems, so a cost range of $350,000 to $500,000, or for the first year, $650,000 to $800,000. The cost of the bill at the Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development, as I noted before, if the initiative passes, the responsibility for controlling marijuana lies with the ABC board until or unless a marijuana control board is established by the legislature within DCCED. And as was done with Colorado, the department recommends the creation of a task force to identify legal policy and procedural issues that need to be resolved. And from creating a database to purchasing vehicles, the estimated cost to create a task force is $1.5 million for the first year, $1.4 million for the second year, or a $1.5 million estimate for the first year. In this lengthy cost estimate, you'll see summaries of costs by other services where the Department of Health and Social Services, for a number of reasons, and we have experts online who can answer your questions, estimates an additional cost of between zero and $2.9 million. The Department of Public Safety estimates a cost of about $1.4 million, and that includes additional or changes in the configuration of the enforcement effort by the Alaska State Troopers. The effort now is to keep marijuana from coming into the state or being sold if it's grown into the state. Now there would be an additional effort to essentially make sure that any marijuana that's grown and sold would be properly taxed, as well as a kind of an anti-bootlegging effort, as it were, as well as an effort to keep marijuana grown in the state from being sold outside the state. The Department of Environmental Conservation estimates a cost of zero to $136,000 a year, and we have experts online from the Department of Environmental Conservation. They regulate food production in the state, and so if marijuana is baked into baked goods or served into food goods or sodas or that sort of thing, that would be their job to manage the health effects. And then the University of Alaska indicated in the cost estimate a number of things that they would need to deal with, but had an indeterminate cost estimate at this time. What we'll do now is we're going to ask the pro side, Dr. Tim Hinterberger, to come forward and speak for the initiative, and then I'll ask Christina Wilson to speak against it. Tim, you've got 10 minutes. Thank you.
All right, thank you very much. I'm Tim Hinterberger. I'm Tim Hinterberger. I'm chair of the campaign. I was one of the primary sponsors of the initiative when we were collecting signatures. Sometimes people ask me why should we make marijuana legal, and I want to remind everyone why marijuana is illegal. It's not because there was like an epidemic or crime wave before marijuana was made illegal nationwide. It was simply because of racism and lies that were accepted at that time. The first drug czar, Harry Anslinger, had lots of quotes that we find amusing nowadays, but in fact, this really is why marijuana is illegal today. Reasons like that and like that. So lies and racism are the reason why marijuana is illegal today. Myth propaganda live on about marijuana in the campaign of our opposition. Big marijuana, big mistake. Examples of that are their emphasis focusing on so-called outsiders and ignoring the local roots of our campaign. I'll talk more about that and be happy to answer questions. They argue that marijuana is more dangerous than alcohol when every objective scientific analysis concludes the opposite. They and other opponents suggest that legalization of marijuana will lead to increases in its use, especially among teens, when, in fact, well-controlled sociological studies have shown little, if any, increase in use in any demographic group following in locations where marijuana laws have been liberalized, both recreational and medical. Our opponents continue to wildly exaggerate the effects of marijuana concentrates. They claim that the initiative, that passing it will lead to aggressive advertising. There's no reason to think that's true. I'll tell you why. They claim that the initiative will lead to the marketing of so-called child-friendly edibles. Again, I emphasize that that is something that can be regulated effectively. They continue to misrepresent the initiative's local option, and I'm sure we'll get into a discussion of that. The initiative, the ballot measure, is supported by these prominent local Alaskans. Many of us have been working on this for many years. I myself have been working on it almost the whole time I've been in Alaska, 22 years. Not to mention the over 45,000 people who signed the petition to get it on the ballot in the first place. So ballot measure two, we are confident will be positive for Alaska. Again, we emphasize that it will regulate marijuana like alcohol. That's a concept we're all familiar with. For instance, more concentrated forms of alcohol are subject to somewhat more stringent regulation. The same can be true for marijuana concentrates. Because of the nine-month rulemaking process, there will be plenty of time for citizen input into drafting the details of the regulations. And again, we're confident that advertising can be banned if that is the will of the legislature, the regulatory bodies, and citizens. And the same true for so-called child-friendly edibles. Managing the industry through a regulated business environment will put an end to black market sales, contrary to what our opponents claim. Just think about it. When was the time you bought a quart jar of moonshine alcohol from an unregulated, untaxed vendor? So, again, alcohol, which is toxic, is highly addictive, is damaging to many organ systems in the body, based on long history in this country, we have decided it's better to regulate it than to prohibit it. But yet, when we're considering a safer substance, marijuana, which is not toxic in any dose, is illegal. And that is the irrational aspect of our laws that we wish to change. And we would even suggest that if marijuana were legally available, that it could quite reasonably lead to an overall decrease in substance abuse. There's good reason to think that people will substitute safer marijuana for more dangerous alcohol. Okay, let's talk about the rulemaking. Again, very important. Be done by a state agency, initially the Alcohol Beverage Control Board, although we can have a marijuana control board if the legislature sees fit. This set of regulations will include regulations to make marijuana less accessible to minors than it is now. Remember, right now, marijuana is here. Marijuana is being sold to minors by people who do not have an interest in protecting their sales license. They don't have any reason to card, and that will change under a policy of regulation. Regulations can include strict control of packaging, dosage, formulation of marijuana products. Really, any aspect of marijuana products can be subject to rulemaking. And speaking personally, I will be happy to see very stringent rules put in effect, certainly to begin with. Advertising can be banned. It says right in the initiative, reasonable restrictions on advertising, display of marijuana, and marijuana products. So despite the claims of our opposition that you will see banner signs on every street corner, we can prevent that if we wish. Local control is an important part of the initiative. As it says in the ballot measure, local government may prohibit the operation of marijuana cultivation facilities, manufacturing facilities, and retail facilities. Much has been made by our opposition of the fact that our initiative does not make an attempt to ban personal possession through local control. But I would remind everyone that the Alaska Supreme Court has weighed in on this many years ago and has determined that personal possession is protected by our state constitution, and if we had attempted to address that in this initiative, it would have been ruled unconstitutional and we could not put it on the ballot. Very importantly, for many Alaskans who find marijuana useful for various illnesses and who may have medical cards, like the one shown there, it's very difficult for many people to get access to marijuana, especially if they want to know the dosage and the concentration. So this will help a lot of genuinely needy, sick people. Again, regulation works. Our opposition keeps saying that regulation is not working in the couple states where it has begun to be tried. We don't think that that's true, nor do some of the law enforcement folks in Colorado. Here's a quote from one of their officers. Pretty pleased so far with the rollout. This was in May, and I haven't heard anything much to the contrary since then. It's much ado about nothing. In fact, just a week or so ago, a new poll came out saying that 55% of Colorado residents back it. There's been a more recent poll that had approximately the same number. So, no, despite what you may have heard, Coloradans are not suffering buyer's remorse following their decision. Also, the very authoritative mainstream Brookings Institution came out with reports saying that the rollout of the initiative in Colorado has been quite effective, successful, and well-managed. State has met the challenging constitutional deadlines, et cetera. So following passage of this ballot measure in Alaska, we have good examples to follow about how to roll it out properly. How am I doing on time? I've got 8 minutes. I've done. Okay, good. Thank you. Newspaper of record for the country had a long series of editorials earlier this summer about marijuana, encouraging federal legalization of marijuana. And they looked at what's going on in Colorado, and they don't find any reason to be concerned about it. Tax revenues are real. The state of Colorado sees continually increasing month-by-month revenues. They are well on track to reaching close to their original estimate of $30 million some dollars in the first year. So I don't know. I'm sure we won't be raking in quite that much in Alaska, but there's real money out there in marijuana taxation. Washington State has a somewhat shorter history. They've adopted a bit more stringent regulatory approach from the outset. And, again, in Washington, the word from the police is that things haven't really changed much there. No big cause for concern. So, in conclusion, look forward to addressing all of your questions. And thank you.
please join us at the front table there, Dr. Hinderberger. Next, I'd like to invite Christina Olson to speak on behalf of the opposition.
Move it over here a little bit so I can see it. Is that possible? Sure. It's hard to look back. Okay. That I can see it from there. Just the arrow, Cameron. Cameron, just the arrow. Okay. Thank you very much. My name is Christina Woolston. I'm the volunteer spokesperson for the Big Marijuana, Big Mistake, Vote No on 2 campaign. I'm here on behalf of tens of thousands of Alaskans and thousands of businesses who have learned what's in ballot measure 2 and have concerns and questions and feel that as reasonable Alaskans, we should have questions and concerns and that once we realize what was in ballot measure 2, we discerned it is not a good plan for Alaska. On the contrary, the ballot measure 2 is almost entirely funded by an outside organization, the Marijuana Policy Project, based in Washington, D.C. Their entire strategy is to legalize marijuana everywhere, and Alaska is a pawn in their national strategy. Their executive director in August made this statement to Marijuana Business Daily. While most people don't care about Alaska, everyone seems to agree that we cannot afford to lose a statewide legalization vote just 2 years after the twin victories in Colorado and Washington, Campia said. We absolutely must win in Alaska, lest reporters declare the legalization movement to be backsliding. So I think that we should all take a step back and realize that this is not really about Alaska. This is about something far beyond anything. And if this passes in Alaska, we would be left with the consequences, and this organization would just move on. Now, when you look at the ballot measure, there is cause for concern. The ballot measure was mirrored after Colorado, and it is actually much more extreme than Colorado, and Alaska's Constitution allows for great protection in a ballot measure by nature of what is included in it. The definition of marijuana includes every part of the plant and genus, every compound, manufacturer, salt, derivative, mixture, including marijuana concentrate. Marijuana accessories, any equipment. So villages that ban any sort of drug paraphernalia would not be able to ban those products in their communities in any manner to get it into the human body. Marijuana products mean concentrated marijuana products and marijuana products that are comprised of marijuana and other ingredients, including edible products. Some of the ways that marijuana is now highly chemicalized and processed, and these concentrates, many of them are seen in this slide here, 80 to 90% THC, butane hash oil is another example, and they use those in a lot of the edibles, and those are almost pure THC, and so those are, I think, great concern for our communities and certainly not what is being purported as part of the ballot measure. Again, butane hash oil concentrates, it's a toxic chemical. When you use butane fuel to create something, it is no longer an organic compound. It certainly changes it, and this would all be legal in Alaska and in any of our villages. When you look at some of the trends in the industry, and this really is a commercial industry that would be coming to Alaska, it's a retail industry, and the way that they make money is to get users to use more and to bring in new users. And when you look at the products that they're pushing in Colorado and other pot shops, they're incredibly youth-friendly. The packaging, the products, the fact that you can have a ring pot instead of a ring pop speaks to the fact that this is geared towards a much younger audience, and when you bring in new users, then you have a lifelong customer. Marijuana edible displays, this is the packaging in Colorado. It's not childproof. It is not in any way meant to sway children from eating them. It's very confusing. My kids would not be able to tell that was a gummy bear that I bought at Costco or that contained a concentrate. Advertising in Colorado has not been banned. It is anything goes. That the top right is a full-page ad in the Denver Post. Those are ValPak coupons that come in the mail to your home. And anybody that says that we can ban advertising or ban edibles or ban children-friendly products in Alaska is just plain being untruthful. That's wishful thinking, and I think that they wish that they would have written it differently because it is a concern to Alaskans. But the fact is it was written in there to protect these products and these trends. If you look in the bottom left-hand corner, these are the pot shops in Denver. There are now more of these than there are pharmacies, and liquor stores. The concerns for Alaska, and particularly for our communities, I'm Alaska Native. I'm from a rural village. I was raised there. It does not afford rural communities the ability to restrict the cultivation, possession, consumption, transportation of marijuana, as many of them do with alcohol. And I think that our leaders also understand that it would be incumbent upon them to pay for any measure of trying to regulate or trying to, you know, they would have to increase law enforcement and other means to try to regulate and oversee an influx of these products in their communities. When you look at legalization, and we are we're concerned in the No campaign and those Alaskans that are concerned with this ballot measure in looking at modern science and modern trends and what the industry is doing. You know, we'd like to focus on what's happening in this century. And we've seen an influx or a change in legalization over time. And when that happened, institutes and research organizations looked at the trends in risk and use, particularly in adolescents. And what they've shown, without a doubt, is that when you legalize a substance, society, particularly our youth, equate that with safe. Legal equals safe, and the use goes up. And we've seen that in Colorado. This is a slide from a fairly long-term study in Colorado. And Colorado started their experiment by legalizing medical marijuana and decriminalizing starting back in 2006. So we've got some really good long-term studies and data around these trends. And Alaska would be no different. Is Dr. Hurlburt on the call today by chance? We've got some medical folks to talk about this. I think it's important for us to just be honest that it is not a safe substance. It does harm, and it does, in particular, have harmful effects to brain activity. And, you know, these are some particular studies, and particularly in our adolescents. I mean, the brain is forming until age 23, 25, sometimes up to 27. So I think that we need to be realistic in talking about the fact that, particularly in adolescents, regular use can lead up to an 8-point drop in IQ, and you just don't get it back. Alaska has the highest rates of workers' compensation in the nation. Our industry and our workforce would be compromised with legalization effort in Alaska. Use would go up. I don't see how you can say that use would not go up, that we would have a compromised ability as employers. There is no way to appropriately test for marijuana. The only test that really works is a blood toxicology report. And these are our future employees, and it says that for adolescents who begin using marijuana, 1 in 6 become addicted. I have research to back up every single one of these statements, and you're welcome to fact-check me. The first myth, that it will bring in huge tax revenue. Colorado has seen very disappointing trends. Voters were told they would see up to $100 million in annual tax revenue. They've seen 12 so far. And it doesn't even cover the cost of regulatory, of law enforcement. They are now putting all of those funds back into trying to get people not to use marijuana and drug treatment. So the fact that Alaska brings in about $6.4 billion in tax revenue from the oil industry and many other industries, what would be potentially about a $5.1 million tax revenue increase to Alaska's coffers is hardly a drop in the bucket, and it certainly wouldn't cover the cost that the state has said it would potentially, running up to $7 million. The Alaska Association of Chiefs of Police had said that it would cost them $6 million in training and trying to figure out how to regulate and, from a law enforcement standpoint, oversee an increase in this use. How am I doing for time? Thank you. There have been no reports out of Colorado or Washington that it is impacting the black market. In fact, quite the opposite. The black market is thriving. And as Lieutenant Mark Comte said from the Colorado Springs Police Department, it does nothing more than enhance the opportunity for the black market. If you can get it tax-free in the corner, you're going to get it tax-free on the corner. I apologize. Let me step back one quick moment. Tax revenue in Colorado, 44% of that in the urban areas is based on tourists driving into Colorado. In the rural tourist areas in the mountains, 90% of their tax revenue is based on tourists driving to Colorado. So, again, I think Alaskans would see, you know, we have seven times fewer people in Alaska than Colorado as well. Myth number three, we're wasting millions locking up innocent pot smokers. On the hearing call last week, the Department of Corrections said there are currently 11 convicts in jail with marijuana-related offenses, and every single one of them would be in jail for other offenses. So I think that we can reasonably state that we do not have an incarceration problem in Alaska. And the movement is backsliding nationwide. Recent poll from USA Today has said that the more Coloradans would vote no than vote yes. We've seen in Alaska an 18-point shift in Alaskans who view ballot measure 2, and more Alaskans would vote no today than yes. And the bottom line, there is, what is the rush? There are lots of concerns. There are lots of questions. I think we as Alaskans should come together in a reasonable fashion and have a conversation about marijuana, but we don't need an outside organization to solve, you know, solve anything for Alaskans. We can do this on our own. Thank you.
Thank you. We now have, I just want to ask, Tim, if you could pass the microphone to your right, and then I'm going to introduce the folks. Could you introduce yourself, please? Press
on the very bottom.
Just push the button. Okay. Doesn't even look like a button. We have a number of experts in state government here, and I wanted you to introduce yourself, and then I'm going to introduce folks online.
Okay. Hi, I'm Kim Stryker. I'm the program manager for the Food Safety and Sanitation Program for the Department of Environmental Conservation.
And we also have online Major Dennis Casanovas with the Alaska State Troopers, Matt Fonder with the Department of Revenue, Dr. Ward Hurlbert, who's the State Medical Officer at the Department of Health and Social Services, Bob Beasley, who's with the Alcohol Beverage Control Board, Sherry Daigle at the Department of Commerce, and Michaela Fowler at the Department of Commerce. And as you come up to testify, and we'll invite people to testify in the order that they've signed up, we're going to also encourage you to ask questions. If you have questions of the sponsors, the opponents, or the state officials here online. So with that, let me just say this. We've had a series of hearings around the state, and many of the intent questions that the bill presents, I mean, one of the questions that came up, as you heard in the testimony, was advertising will be banned. One side says advertising can't be banned or won't be banned, based on what the other side was saying. We've had a lot of discussion on that. So there's a lot in the public record already on that, and because there's so many people here to testify, I'm not gonna belabor those points. One of the other questions has been the definition of marijuana. If you look at what the law says, it says you can have an ounce of marijuana, and then it defines marijuana as not just the green leafy substance, but also the concentrates. So the question is, are you allowed to have just an ounce of a plant, or are you allowed to have the an ounce of the concentrates, which could represent the product of literally dozens of plants. And the proposers have told us the intent is to limit it to an ounce of the green leafy substance, but the direct reading of the law may not actually back that up in the case, and it's good to have the intent language on the record. And so that's where we've come from. At any rate, there are a number of other different questions that have come up, and it is fine for you as a legislator citizen or a citizen legislator, which is what you are, to ask those questions as we go there. So we also have a 3-minute limit generally, and we've gone over that limit from time to time when there have been questions to be asked. But I'm going to invite Eric Derleth and Kenai from Kenai First, an attorney, to come forward. And on deck would be Mark Tyler. Tyler, sorry. Thanks.
Good afternoon, folks. Ms. Wolston, I guess my first question is for you to give context to my comments, which is,
Do you actually sell alcohol at Fat Ptarmigan's? That's a business you own? I've never heard you address it publicly, but do you own an interest in Fat Ptarmigan's, which sells alcohol? I would like you to answer it.
I don't think this
it works
now.
You
okay,
can
great.
Just nod or shake your head.
Yes, I am one of the owners of a family restaurant in downtown Anchorage.
And it sells alcohol to Alaska Natives and anybody else who's 21 or older,
I'm Alaska
right?
Native, so...
I heard you say that.
Okay.
But you are selling alcohol to people who are 21 whose brains aren't done forming, right? No rule against that at Fat Ptarmigan's, correct?
Right.
So just say yes.
I think the...
But go on quicker if you just say yes or no. You sell alcohol to 21-year-olds whose brain aren't done developing, according to what you just said.
So right. I think it'd be great if we could talk about what's in the ballot measure.
So your answer is yes. Can you tell me if you have a policy in writing to not sell alcohol to pregnant women? That is not against the law in Alaska. Do you have a policy at Fat Ptarmigan not to sell alcohol to obviously pregnant women? Please. Everybody's waiting for your answer. I only have 3 minutes. I'll take it that that's a no. There's no policy. Really what this comes down to, folks, I've been in Alaska, born and raised. I'm 44 years old. For 30 years, I've been writing papers and research since I was 14 years old on the legalization of marijuana. This caricature that we live in our mother's basements and that we're losers and that it saps your IQ and your will to do something with your life is nonsense. The reason they're mentioning outsiders over and over, if you go to their website, the first two arguments are outsiders are running this and outsiders are going to use us as pawns. You have Pabst Blue Ribbon on your website. Does anybody see the Pabst Brewery here in Anchorage, or is it in Wasilla? It's in Los Angeles, and they just sold to a non-American company. Are you going to stop selling Boda Box wine they sell over the Internet? You sell lots of products outside of Alaska that are made. You work for Chiniga Corporation. Do they refuse to contract with big outside corporations? What happened to free market? You right-wing conservative people love liberty and free markets, except when it comes to what you don't like in somebody else's medicine cabinet. We got started on this law by Harry Anslinger saying things, quote, reefer makes the darkies think they're as good as the white man. The legacy of racism that brought us to this and the fact that the impact is disproportionate on people of color is disgusting. It's not up for debate. How can you possibly sell alcohol and sit there and say you're a volunteer? When you said that in Fairbanks, your campaign came out and said you misspoke. Somehow, the statement that my corporation has been hired to run the campaign came out of your mouth as I'm a volunteer. How do you misspeak and say something so outrageously false? And then you said it again today. Did anything change between the time they said you misspoke with the exact same sentence? Of course not. And I don't want to be mad at you. I hope you're doing this for the right reasons. But Alaska has to go back to respect. In 1975, Justice Rabinowitz said, Alaskans have the right to possess marijuana in their home if they're adults because in Alaska, people stay or they come to get a level of privacy virtually unattainable in our sister states. That is gone. We are no longer Alaska. We are North Texas. We are no longer the last frontier. We take a backseat to Colorado and Washington when it comes to privacy and freedom and liberty and the right to be left alone when what I do does not pick a pocket and does not break a leg. I apologize for going over, and I appreciate your time.
No, I would just encourage Alaskans to, instead of character assassinations, I'm sorry, I thought I was going to... I beg your pardon.
Please don't interrupt, and let's try to be respectful on all sides. Mark?
You know, the same thing we heard about what's the rush. You know, I personally view this as a civil rights issue. Like Eric, we feel pretty passionate. It's pretty obvious about that. That they said the same thing about, you know, blacks voting, women voting, gay marriage. Every time there's an arbitrary element... It doesn't require them to show their work. Why is this so? You know, why is this so? And they can't show it. They couldn't show it for the why they considered blacks not to be human, why they decided to invoke the Jim Crow laws, women's suffrage, and deny rights to people, which they would continue to do. And they continue to do it through the drug war. And so the next thing they like to throw into the mix is the children. When you've got these arbitrary measures, there's plenty of a body of knowledge out there of influence tactics, of using fear-based initiatives, and everybody knows support our troops and children are the main ones. Throw children into the mix, and everybody can just go into hysterics. And, you know, I've got a 7-year-old son, and I consider this very important, and we teach him about liberty. We also teach him about critical analysis and about weighing evidence. And you're talking about what does this teach kids when we've got tobacco illegal and alcohol illegal and prescription pill abuse is just rampant. And yet we have cannabis that we've got enough experience with, especially with people up here that have their livelihood is kind of encompassing that lifestyle, and they see that it's not bad. They see that it's not wrong. They see it doesn't pose these illusionary threats, and they see that it's not right and wrong. But yet that's illegal, and that yet mom and dad that oppose this measure can go to the restaurant and drink heavily and abuse hydrocodone or do whatever, just casually drink, and that sends a message that that's okay, this is not, and you can't show your work. And to me, that's worse than teaching the kids abstinence. Just say no doesn't work. It's failed. It's shown by every metric that it's failed. And the only way that we can get this back on track on many more issues than just this is a litmus issue about whether Americans and Alaskans can weigh evidence and not get into this emotive, knee-jerk reaction with legislation. And thank God we have this referendum process that we don't have to depend on the legislators because, unfortunately, they're gutless. Not one single Kenai mayor, not one single legislator's come out in support of this. And it's due strictly because of the whims of this perceived audience of this fear. And what we need now is leadership and courage and people that are able to stand up and go, this is a liberty issue. You can't keep cherry-picking issues here with regards to liberty. And this is very much a liberty issue. And again, once this, you know, once it is a liberty, an arbitrary liberty issue, they can come in hunting, no more hunting, you know, because there's enough people say, hey, this is, we don't like this. There's something ain't right. Killing animals is not right. That, you know, when you have an arbitrary little variable, it can be exploited at all sides. Yeah, thank you.
Our next testifier is Jeff Jesse.
Thank you. I'm Jeff Jesse. I'm speaking as a private citizen. You know, when I first heard about this initiative and I read it and I realized that this was really a Trojan horse, and I wondered, well, wait a minute, private use is already legal. Private consumption of marijuana is already legal in the state of Alaska. So my question was, what opened the door to this initiative? In my mind, it was two things. One is the legislature has failed to provide some way for people that have a medical marijuana prescription to legally get marijuana. That's wrong. It needs to be fixed. The second is, even though personal consumption in the privacy of your own home is legal, there's no real legal way, unless you grow it yourself, to acquire small quantities of marijuana from other citizens. I think that also needs to be fixed. These things, however, require only very specific, measured, and focused solutions, and we need to get our legislature to fix these things. What's been done, though, is to use these legitimate problems as a way to get the camel's nose under the tent. What you don't need to fix these very specific problems is the creation of a large-scale commercial industrial industry focused on increasing profits by increasing consumption. Now, I saw up here that advertising could be banned. I'm looking right at the statute. It says reasonable restrictions on the advertising and display of marijuana and marijuana products. Now, after the Citizens United case in the Supreme Court that found that corporations are people too, how far do you really think the regulators are going to be able to go to ban this commercial speech? No, they're not going to be able to do that. They're going to be able to ban false advertising, but they're not going to be able to ban the promotion and advertising to increase consumption of marijuana. Edibles is a whole different game from alcohol. Edibles, once they come out of the package, there's no way to identify that, short of some very sophisticated chemical test. And extremely high concentrates that are designed solely to get people the maximum buzz has nothing to do with small-scale recreational use or medical marijuana. Now, they say, well, gee, we should allow this industry to be created because marijuana is safer than alcohol. Well, is that really our only litmus test for what we want to promote as a society in the state of Alaska? You know, gambling is arguably safer than alcohol. Many people would say that prostitution is safer. Do we want to allow gambling and prostitution? My view is the scare tactics are really being used by the proponents of this, not the opponents. Thank you.
Dr. George Stewart. And on deck is Ralph Vertimiglia, whose name I've really messed up, I'm sure.
Thank you very much for letting me present. As I say, I'm Dr. George Stewart. I've been in Alaska 45 years. And what I'm going to be sharing with you right now, scientific information about the toxicity of marijuana, all of this fuzz that we've heard about it not being toxic. First, from a report in the Mayo Clinic in 2006, marijuana smoke contains 50 to 70% more cancer-causing hydrocarbons than regular tobacco. Publication by the National Institute of Drug Abuse, highest density of cannabinoid receptors is in the parts of the brain that influence pleasure, memory, thinking, and concentration, and it's what causes the high and other effects that users experience. Highest density of a number of studies have linked chronic marijuana use to mental illness. High doses of marijuana can produce a temporary psychotic reaction. Marijuana raises the heart rate by 20 to 100%, and particularly marijuana-infused food. In June of 2014, National Institute of Drug Abuse Sciences published a paper in the New England Journal of Medicine, and I'm not making this up. Here is the article right here. Marijuana can be addictive. The risk increases with young and daily users. Marijuana impairs driving and leads to increased risk of accidents. Long-term studies show that regular marijuana use in early teen years lowers IQ into adulthood, even if the user stopped smoking marijuana as adults. And this is a table that's in this article in the New England Journal of Medicine. Impaired effects of short-term use, impaired short-term memory, making it difficult to learn and retain information, impaired motor coordination, altered judgment, increasing the risk of sexual behaviors that facilitate the transmission of sexually transmitted diseases, and high doses, it causes paranoia and psychosis. The effect of long-term or heavy use, addiction, about 9% correction of users overall, 17% of those who begin in adolescence, and 25 to 50% of those who are daily users become addicted. Poor educational outcome, increased likelihood of dropping out of school, altered brain development, cognitive impairment with lower IQ in those who were frequent users in adolescence or early 20s, diminished life satisfaction and achievement with a higher rate of suicide, symptoms of chronic bronchitis, and increased risk of chronic psychosis disorders. And so these are scientifically proven documents. These are related to studies published in the literature that have been peer-reviewed, and if anybody wants a copy of this, Lieutenant Governor Treadwell, would you like this, or somebody else in the audience like this? Those are proven facts. That is scientific information. I'm not talking about politics. I'm not talking about all of this fuzz about who is, who isn't. Doesn't make any difference what your race is, what your ethnicity is. It is toxic.
Sir, can I ask you this? If you have a conversation, you can take it outside. And, you know, this is a hearing where people have a chance to testify.
What kind of doctor?
Pardon me?
What kind of doctor?
Mediocre. I'm a lung specialist, and that's what I did for 40 years in medical practice. And so I saw people who did have lung toxic effects of inhaling marijuana, because when you do puff on it,
you hold it for a long period of time.
We eat it, you're okay with that.
That gets to your brain.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Yeah, let me just say that when somebody hands us an exhibit, and we've got exhibits from pro and con side on the three different initiatives that we're running this fall, we will post them at notice.alaska.gov so that you can see the exhibits. And if you have studies yourself, Dr. Hinderberger, you said that you found no credible health studies showing problems, but if you have studies that you want to add to the list, you're very welcome to add them. Yeah. Thank you. Okay, Ralph, you're up.
Thank you. First of all, I think I lost 8 IQ points listening to that side, first of all. Thank you very much. And also to also just touch on that about foreign, you know, entities coming here and starting that. It has to start somewhere. Unfortunately, it didn't start here. And as we've seen throughout the country, that the ball is rolling. So it's not being influenced, I think, outside. I think it's being influenced within ourselves, something that we've all, you know, really need to approach. First of all, what I should have started off with, I've been in the mental health field since 1992. I specialize in dual diagnosis, which is substance abuse and secondary psychiatric disorders. In my experience personally, I've never had a patient admitted for marijuana dependency, which is a diagnosable and it's in the DSM, you know, diagnostic statistical manual. Excuse me, I'm very nervous. It's the first time I'm ever speaking, but again, a lot of points have been touched already about the historical views and how it became illegal. And personally, I just to go through this, I've had a lot of operations in the last few years that have rendered me in massive amounts of pain. I do not at all take prescription medications, not even aspirins. I am concerned what does go into my body. People that wear complete biohazard suits to make my medication does not seem like something I want to ingest. When I can just have a plant and smoke it, and again, not worry what is going in me in that manner. I really kind of tongue-tied and really don't know what else to say. But, I do not want to go to a doctor to have them tell me I could smoke. I would definitely prefer to go and not have the stigma that I've had my whole life. Again, working in the field that I have never disclosed that to any of my colleagues that I have smoked. I've smoked since 1979. And anybody that I have ever worked with would probably call you a liar if you said that to them, that I have smoked. So that being said, I just completely disagree with any of these scare tactics that have been going on, not only here, nationwide. And I don't think this is just something that is starting, you know, in a few states. Again, we have medical marijuana legalization in many states, but politically, I think for the world, it needs to begin here as well, but most of our foreign policies and all the countries that have made it illegal is through the denial of our aid to foreign countries, and that's why it is illegal throughout the world. So if maybe we start beginning to turn the tide here, maybe, you know, our rights as citizens and the freedom to do what we can be spread not only here but hopefully everywhere.
Ralph, thank you. Laura Harrington, when you signed in, you weren't sure if you wanted to testify. Would you like to testify? Okay. Ryan Lasher. And on deck is Tim Wolston.
I'd like to spend my short time today talking about something that I don't think has gotten enough coverage, marijuana concentrates. Since Colorado legalized marijuana and its concentrates in 2014, there have been 31 hash oil explosions in the state. The manufacture of hash oil is an extremely dangerous process, which requires large amounts of butane, a highly flammable, heavier-than-air gas. According to various law enforcement agencies, the dangers posed by the extraction concentrating process can be compared to those of a meth lab. Butane hash oil is a potent marijuana concentrate that can contain up to 90% THC. Other names for it are called shatter and earwax. The process of smoking them requires an industrial blowtorch. This is called dabbing. The user takes a torch just like this and uses it to heat up a nail. Once the nail is red hot, superheated, the user then dabs the concentrate on the nail and inhales the smoke with the aid of a water pipe or bong. If this extreme measure passes, these potent marijuana concentrates will be available and sold. The manufacturer of said concentrates in homes and apartments will also be legal. I mentioned some of the difficulties Colorado was having earlier. We will see the same problems here. The vote yes people have compared these concentrates to hard alcohol. Last time I checked, you didn't need a torch for hard alcohol. I encourage you to Google and YouTube dabbing.
Thank you. Tim Wolston, this is your these are your notes, sir. And George Hagedis is on deck.
Good afternoon. My name is Tim Wolston. I sit on the coordinating committee for Big Marijuana, Big Mistake, Vote No on 2. I am also an owner of a local advertising agency that has been involved in the No on 2 campaign. My family is also part owner of a local pizza restaurant. I am a 28-year Alaskan and a father of four. I want to point out a couple of significant trends that are happening nationally in Colorado and here in Alaska regarding public attitudes toward the legalization of marijuana. First, nationally. A new survey just released by the Public Religion Research Institute asked 4,500 Americans, which puts the margin of error at less than 2%, about their support for legalized marijuana. Support has now dropped from 51% in 2013 to 44% today, a 7-point drop in 1 year. The research shows that those who slightly supported legalization a year ago have changed their minds, and those who slightly opposed legalization last year now feel more strongly about it. It seems obvious that Americans are reacting to events in Colorado since legalization there, many of which you've heard about here today. Meanwhile, Colorado is having a change of heart as well. A Suffolk University USA Today poll finds that now only 46% of likely voters support Amendment 64, the constitutional amendment legalizing and commercializing marijuana. 50% of likely voters opposed the measure entirely. That is a marked difference from election night 2012, when 55% of voters support the measure, a 9-point drop. Everything is apparently not going swimmingly in Colorado. We have a lot to learn from the Colorado experience. It's still less than 9 months old. Coloradans, some of them are obviously feeling remorse about that vote, and we believe that as Alaskans are given the facts about this extreme initiative, the marijuana industry, and the failings of commercialization, they are opposing legalization. That is what's happening. A recent public policy poll shows that if the election were held today, Alaskans would defeat the measure 49% to 44%, and that's an 18-point swing since February. The Washington, D.C.-based Marijuana Policy Project and its affiliated Drug Policy Alliance have contributed $822,000 to the pro-commercialization campaign so far. They have three individual Alaskan donors who have contributed a total of $2,000. Despite all the cash they've invested, they don't really care about Alaskans, only that the role our state plays in this national strategy. One of the representatives, as Christina said earlier, said that recently that no one cares about Alaska, but that we still have to win there, lest the media start to think this national effort is backsliding. It seems clear that it is backsliding and fast, and that is part of the frustration that we continue to hear on the part of people that are pushing this initiative. And the last thing I want to address is it has been a very interesting process for us who have come together as a grassroots organization to oppose this. We have continually tried to discuss what's in this initiative, and proponents have continually tried to discuss us personally. personal attacks have continued. They've continued tonight. It's rude. It's not what Alaskans stand for. It's unfortunate that we can't talk about what is in this initiative, but that's the way things are going. We'll see how Alaskans vote. We hope that they take a chance and take the chance to read what is actually in the initiative before going to the polls. Thank you.
Thank you. And I'll add, Tim, or anybody else, if you want to speak to what's in the initiative or have any of the agencies answer that, that's why they're here. George, I saw that you had indicated you weren't interested in testifying, but you're welcome to. Thank you.
All right. I didn't plan on speaking at first, but my buddy signed me up, so I'm going to speak. I'm a disabled veteran and a business owner here in Alaska. I'm extremely nervous. I own the AK Boardroom downtown, and I'll just give you a quick history. While I was in the Marine Corps and high school, I used to party a lot and drink a lot to the point where later on I found out that I was diagnosed with cirrhosis and quit drinking. Now, if I was poisoned by that from recreational use of alcohol and having fun while I was a young man, you know, that speaks – you know, negatively to the fact that alcohol is legal, is advertised adversely, and nobody's making a big deal of it. Whereas, you know, I'm sure, you know, later on, once everybody gets comfortable, my generation, not the older generation, my generation will be comfortable with it. There will be some advertising, but it's not going to be a big deal. People are going to go about their everyday lives just like they do now with alcohol. Marijuana prohibition is ridiculous. I have a six-year-old son. He isn't affected by it in any way because you do it away from them, you know. Parenting is a lot of these things about children you spoke of and how pervasive. These candy things, put them away in a cupboard where they can't reach it, you know. Keep it away from your kids. Instruct them not to. I keep alcohol in my house. I don't see my six-year-old trying to go get to it, you know, like – because it says grape schnapps or grape Smirnoff or whatever, you know. I use it. I have post-traumatic stress disorder. I was a machine gunner in the infantry in the Marine Corps. Because of our sleep cycles and everything, on many, you know, a couple tours, you know, I had to stay up for 48 hours sometimes trying to keep me and my friends alive. So I have effects of my, you know, I can't sleep very well. So I use concentrates, yes, concentrates, to go to sleep every night, and it helps me a lot, you know, and it's just ridiculous. And as far as using butane, yeah, you use butane to strip the molecules off the plant matter, but you purge it completely before you smoke the concentrate. No butane is being ingested. It's pure plant molecules. CBD, THC, and that's it. It's safe, you know, and I can sit here and tell you confidently I've used absorbent amounts, and I'm fine. I'm alive, you know, and that's all I have to say. Thank you.
So, Chris Garamsky. Okay, thanks. Mark Fish.
Yes, my name's Mark Fish. I'm from Big Lake, Alaska. And I'm not going to talk about the facts and figures and the pros and cons of this because something's getting missed here, I think, is the effect of the current law on people. And I want to do it as a personal admission, something that I've had to keep quiet on for nearly 25 years. When I was a teenager and a young man, I regularly smoked marijuana. If that was known at that time, I would have never had a career, a 20-year career, distinguished career serving in the Alaska Army National Guard Aviation. I would have never been able to participate in saving people's lives. I would have never been able to participate in training troops to go over and defend our country overseas? Do you think that a young man today or a young woman today should be denied those opportunities simply because they have made a mistake in their youth? I think it's tragic what we're doing today. I have very close personal friends that are facing jail time simply for growing too much pot on their own property. I know a man that was a 19-year-old in Vietnam with a 45 chasing people into tunnels to kill them on our orders, on our request. And now he comes back home, has to acquire, not from the VA, of course, but acquires marijuana illegally so he can sleep at night? And we're telling him that's wrong? And I'm going to ask everybody out here, if you've ever smoked marijuana in your life, you know, come, please stand with me. And the rest of you that are sitting are saying, do you want to tell these people that you would like to see them in jail or a criminal? This is wrong. And I know this isn't a perfect, trust me, I'm a Libertarian Senate candidate, and I know this isn't a perfect proposition. I know this isn't a perfect bill. But it moves the ball away from what is terribly wrong now into a regulatory process that we can address as Alaskans later. And for that, I think we should do it. Thank you.
Thank you. Lloyd Stenfield. And on deck, John Papasdora.
I just have a couple clarifications, and I apologize about the hoarse voice.
Sure.
First off, the first page that you started with today, it said that it was the comments board. Is the alcohol board inside of the comments department?
Yes.
Okay. That clears it up, because I was under the assumption that the alcohol board would have the ability to make the marijuana board if they needed to.
The way the bill is written is we have an ABC board right now, the Alcohol Beverage Control Board, and that licenses alcohol, works with the communities to charter bars and dispensaries and so forth. The bill is proposed assigns this responsibility of writing the regulations to the ABC board in the Department of Commerce. So we have online people from the Department of Commerce as well as the ABC board within it. It is up to the legislature to create a marijuana control board. I don't know why the drafters of it did it exactly that way, but you can't appropriate by initiative, and so if you create a new entity, sometimes people could argue that's an appropriation. So there could be several reasons why they did it that way.
Okay. The second thing is the Bob, the guy that's running the alcohol board that took over for Shirley, is he intern or is he going to take over the job?
Who's on from the ABC board again?
Hi, Lieutenant Governor. Bob Beasley here.
Bob, have you been named permanently as a director, or are you an interim director?
Cindy Franklin just took over yesterday as the new director of the Alcoholic Beverage Control Board.
Okay. Sydney Franklin?
Cindy Franklin, yes. She was the municipal prosecutor for the municipality of Anchorage.
Okay. Thanks for clearing that up, Bob.
Thank you.
Yeah, I had been talking with Shirley trying to get some of these things figured out, and when she retired, when the alcohol board moved over to the comments department, and
right.
She retired and Bob took over, I wasn't sure exactly how that was all going to work out.
Okay. And one thing that we determined in previous hearings is if this bill passes, February 15th or so, it becomes law, but then there's about a nine-month period for the ABC board or a marijuana control board if the legislature decides to create one. To make the regulations. One of the questions asked in a previous hearing is it legal as of February 15th to possess an ounce? The answer was it was believed yes by the sponsors, but it would not be legal to sell it until the ABC board got around to having specific licensed establishments.
Thank you for the clarification. First and foremost, I'd like to say I appreciate the meeting on the pro side and the vote no side. I think it's a great way to get out and hash out some of the differences here. Second of all, I've been in Alaska since 92, and I want this. I'm not national. I've been here since 92. Military, Elmendorf, I want it. I need it. I have a S5L1 disc dysfunction, and I need it. I use it every day. I have 16 units of real estate. I was on a roll in high school. I have a wife that's in pharmacy school. I have two children. One's 8 and one's 4. 8-year-old's in third grade. I use it every day, too. I don't use butane hash. I use ISO. It won't explode. You know, there's no issue with it in my house. I do not fear for the safety of myself. Of course, I don't partake around my kids. That's irresponsible. Anybody that lets an edible get into a kid's hand is irresponsible. It's the same thing with the example of alcohol. If it gets into your kid's hands, look at yourself. All right? Yes. It's yourself that needs to be regulated. I mean, you, as an adult, purchased this. Your kids didn't purchase this. It's on you to make sure that you handle that appropriately. You're a mature adult. Next, how do they come up with the $5 million tax figure when there's no revenue? Where did the $5 million tax figure come from if we don't have any statistics for a revenue?
No, no, listen. Let's be respectful of each other. Christina, would you like to answer the question about your estimate on revenue?
Sure. So when we look at what's happening in Colorado, we didn't even take into consideration the fact that 44% of the annual tax revenue is based on tourists driving to Colorado. In the rural areas and the mountain tourist areas, it's 90% tourist tax revenue. There are 7 times more people in Colorado than there are in Alaska, and we compared the rate of consumption. And so, you know, despite the fact that Colorado's tax rate is higher than Alaska's would be, so it's actually a fairly generous calculation. And that was before the tax revenue that we've seen in Colorado was at $12 million after 7 months instead of a much higher projection. So reasonably it could be much less than that, but that was the comparison.
Thank you for that. I did a populist statistic. I took Aurora City. It's got 365,000 people in it. That's where I got my numbers from. And I got $60 to $80 million of revenue every single year in Alaska through a populist statistic. I'm conservative. I don't think it's a political issue. And as far as poll numbers go, if you watched the news since 2008, do you really believe in any poll? Really?
No.
2008.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's true, though, right?
I mean, I didn't see Obama getting
reelected. I'm pretty bad at reading some handwriting. Is it Joan or John? Papa? John, I apologize for mangling your name, sir.
John Papsador, I don't think there's anybody else here from the law enforcement community, but I'm in town today, so I thought I'd take a few moments to share a few thoughts. I read the article posted by the young person out there about drugs in rural Alaska. I live in rural Alaska. Chief of Police in Nome, Alaska. And I see it every day, and also look at some of the information that's been presented on both sides today, and I can appreciate the efforts of everybody on this particular measure. Some of the wording in the particular ballot has me a bit uncomfortable when you put weasel words like reasonable, probable, isn't it likely, phrases that might not clearly define what the purpose of it is. It leaves an awful lot of room for interpretation. So that's what part of my problem is with this particular. You've already had your opportunity to talk. It's my turn. It's my turn. My turn to speak right now is that we do enforce the law. We arrest people for misconduct involving controlled substances. Most of those cases are not prosecuted. That's because of the district attorney's discretion. Now, I have seen people that are too intoxicated by ingestion of drugs to be operating a vehicle. I think anybody here who smokes has seen some of their buddies that have had too much. My problem is when you leave your house or when you hurt somebody else. So I think that the people really need to take a close look at this to find out what the long-term effects are going to be. It's not just the professional who's smoking at home. It's not just people who are responsible around their kids. It's everybody else. And I think you need to take that into consideration. And that's all I have to say. Thank you.
You're often having this conversation outside. John, thank you. And I know you, or I'd heard word you were going to testify when we were in Nome, and thank you for being here today. Steve Wells here from Metsu. Bay is up next.
Well, you could listen to this one. Leave that one on in there.
I'm Steve Wells. I'm an attorney. I practice in Anchorage right now. I practice throughout this state. I practice from Kotzebue to Dutch Harbor to Ketchikan. And I would urge people to vote yes for several different reasons. Number one, I got to say our drug laws have ultimately been pointless. It is a medical problem, and we're trying to solve it with a criminal justice system. Since 1913, Congress began dealing with narcotics by taxing them. At that time, the rate of addiction was roughly 1.5%. We formed the Bureau of Narcotics Control. In 1971, Nixon declared war on drugs. At that time, the rate of addiction was roughly 1.5%. Since then, we have spent more than $1.5 trillion. We put people in cages, and we do put people in cages for marijuana. It is the number one reason why people go to jail in this court, in this country today. And you know what the rate of addiction is? 1.5%. I want to address a couple of things that have been brought up here. It is illegal to possess and to smoke marijuana in Alaska. The laws are on the books. Now, there is a constitutional protection in your own home, but the laws are on the books. As far as the studies that were given, I would be very careful with any scientific studies that are analyzed, and here's why. The federal government classifies marijuana as a Schedule I controlled substance. That is a Schedule I. They rank it with heroin. Why? I don't know, but they do. Alaska schedules it as a Schedule VI. It's the only Schedule VI drug. Because Alaska or the federal government realizes it or classifies it as a Schedule I, they will not release any IV study. There's been one study where the federal government has authorized the release of marijuana to study it, and that was done by the University of Pennsylvania Medical School to deal with how well law enforcement truly could detect the odor of marijuana. All other studies on marijuana are done by people that have come to the emergency room or have otherwise been hospitalized. So I would urge you to take those studies with a grain of salt. So why should you vote yes? A couple of reasons. Number one, I have represented more people than I can count charged with sexual assault, sexual abuse, domestic violence, all kinds of crimes. And you know what? I've seen the destruction that they have wrought to themselves and to other people, and most of them, and I would say in my time in rural Alaska, I would say 99.8% of them were under the influence of drugs. And you know what that drug was? Alcohol. I've never represented anybody that's charged with a serious, violent crime while they were solely under the influence of marijuana. Never. But the last reason, and it's been touched on, why should you vote yes? It's because of liberty. It's because it's my life. And I know I'm out of time, but I would say one brief thing. I know there are studies that are announced and polls that are announced. Well, you know what? My liberty isn't subject to other people's polls. Right now, we live in a time in which the majority of people would vote to repeal the Bill of Rights. I thank God that was passed in 1787, because it would be gone today. Vote yes.
So, Julia, you didn't indicate an interest in testifying. Would you like to testify? Okay, thank you. Next, Deborah Williams from Anchorage. And on deck is Charlo Green.
My name is Deborah Williams.
I'm proud to be a resident of Alaska for over 34 years. I love this state. I love the youth in this state. And I love the future of this state. I oppose ballot measure one and have been actively involved in big marijuana, big mistake, vote no on two. Excuse me, I said one. I oppose ballot measure two and have been very active in big marijuana, big mistake, vote no on two. Because I truly believe, as an attorney, as someone who's been very involved in public health for years, including the head of the Lung Association in the 80s, as someone who's very involved in youth issues, that this measure, this extreme and costly measure, is the wrong approach for Alaska. Obviously, there's a PowerPoint that goes through all the details that describes the science that Dr. George Stewart and others have specified. It is science. It is clear science on this issue. And there are many, many issues that can be addressed today, but I'm going to use most of my opportunity here in the 3 minutes to ask important questions, which will really get to the root of some of the extremities of this piece of legislation. But before I do that, I do want to clarify one thing and also ask the state to look into this independently. I did ask myself, what has happened with Colorado alcohol tax revenues since marijuana was legalized? Have they gone down? Have they stayed the same? Have they gone up? Obviously, there are certain suggestions that marijuana consumption, excuse me, that alcohol consumption will go down if marijuana legalized. That has absolutely not been the case in Colorado. Alcohol tax revenues have increased since the legalization of marijuana in Colorado. There is no evidence whatsoever anywhere in the country or the world that alcohol consumption decreases when marijuana is legalized. And I would just ask the state of Alaska to look at going and talk with the Colorado Department of Revenue to verify that. But if you go online and look at that, that's what you find. In terms of the extremity of this particular piece of legislation, as we've pointed out, the definition is clear. It includes absolutely every aspect of marijuana, including concentrates and including edibles. Accessories are defined to include any way to ingest marijuana in your body, any conceivable way in anything having to do with it. And what is problematic, among other things, and I know the state has looked into these, but I'd like to ask the state to look at these specific issues because I don't think they've been addressed at all. This particular legislation specifically legalizes and prohibits any local government or any other government from prohibiting processing marijuana. This particular piece of legislation legalizes the home creation of butane hash oil. As we pointed out, 31 butane hash oil explosions in Colorado. I would just like to have the state verify that under this definition and under these provisions, processing is specifically legalized. And two other quick issues. One is the proponents will say that, of course, we pointed out this prohibits local governments from prohibiting the transport of marijuana into communities or the exchange of marijuana for anything other than remuneration. But it appears as if no one, either the state or anyone else, can restrict the retail of marijuana, the growth of marijuana, or the industrial manufacture of marijuana on unincorporated lands in the state of Alaska. It defines local government, and that's only incorporated local government. And so I would ask the state to see if there was any way anyone can restrict those activities on unincorporated lands. Anyway, this raises so many questions and is so extreme. It is the wrong approach for Alaska. This outside approach needs to be rejected.
Thank you. And Michaela Fowler from DCED, you were asked a couple of questions about local control. The first question in terms of local government versus statewide, affairs of the state, is there any way that the state could prevent the prohibited operation of marijuana cultivation facilities, et cetera, outside a borough or a municipality by your reading of the law?
I'm going to defer to Bob Beasley on that from the ABC board as he's involved in the local control directly.
Bob?
Yes, Lieutenant Governor, I'm here. Could you repeat the question again, please?
Yeah, the assertion was made by the last person testifying that you have to have a local government, in essence, ban manufacture or sale. But in an area, in an unincorporated borough, that a local government could not do that. How do you do that today with alcohol? And by your reading of the bill, could a group of locals deny marijuana sales if they wanted to in their community?
You know, Lieutenant Governor, that's a pretty difficult question to answer. In local option laws, you've got municipalities and you've also got organized villages. And there's two different procedures that they would use, but I can't answer that question without legal review.
Okay, and how does it work today with alcohol?
They can.
A village in an unincorporated outside an organized borough can have a vote. You know, I oversee Division of Elections. We do school board votes. I don't know if we actually assist in votes on alcohol, but or at least I don't remember any. So, but you do allow that outside the unincorporated area.
That is correct. An organized village can have a local option law as well as a municipality.
Okay. And can I ask the proposers, is it your intent you made it pretty clear that there were some places where the local control would be different. Is it your intent that a village that's not in a municipality there, and why didn't it say that in the law?
The testimony just heard from Ms. Williams is incorrect in saying that the ballot measure defines local government to exclude unincorporated villages. Local government, I'm reading from the ballot measure, local government means both home rule and general law municipalities, including boroughs and cities of all classes and unified municipalities. True, it doesn't specifically say unincorporated, but I can tell you as the chair of the campaign and as someone who was involved in drafting the language that it was clearly our intent to include unincorporated or established villages among local government entities that can create that exemption to the...
Using the battery.
Oh. Yeah. Excuse me. You got that? Okay.
Yes, that those would be included in local governments that could, under this ballot measure, ban manufacture and sale.
Lieutenant Governor, may I ask a follow-up to Dr. Hindenburg?
Yes, in just a moment. So, at the ABC board, is the language parallel to this, or is it different in terms of being able to allow a municipality or a village that may not be in a municipality?
Well, Lieutenant Governor, Alaska Statute 411.491, it actually specifies...
Bob Beasley, can you hear us?
Yes, can you hear me?
Kale, you pushed the wrong button, I think. Bob, are you here?
I am. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes, Lieutenant Governor, Alaska Statute 411.491, when it talks of local options... It specifically discusses the procedure with which a municipality would go through for a local option a vote and then what an organized village would do. So it specifically talks about villages and also the five-mile radius of that village.
Okay. And that's not reflected in the draft legislation, but you're saying it's your intent that that same general procedure be followed?
That's correct.
Okay. Sir, state your question.
Dr. Hindenburg, is it your understanding that this law is the skeleton of the marijuana legalization, but legislature enacts other laws that are complementary, if not contradictory, of how it goes on the rollout? They can make more laws on top of your law, or is that impossible? Your law prohibits the legislature from ever touching this law again.
Of course, under Alaska law, after a certain period of time, the legislature can modify laws that have been passed as citizen initiatives, yes.
And I think the specific question is this. If somebody wanted to open a marijuana store outside a municipality, who does the ABC board talk to? And with alcohol, they have a specific manner for having it. We notice it's not here. Your point is that maybe it could be added back in by the legislature. You're saying it's an intent, but I could also see somebody trying it
and suing the legislature, saying, no, the plain language of the law left it out. So, you know, you're a lawyer, and you can see there's arguments all sides. No, it's legal to sue to overturn a law that the legislature passes. So that's one of the issues. Sure. Go ahead.
Thank you. This is effectively legislation, and the state can only regulate up to what the legislation says. And so what is contained in here is all that the authorities in Alaska could regulate up to. You couldn't go beyond that. So the language that's in here, any changes would be a substantive change, would be considered a repeal, and that, in addition, would open up the state of Alaska to additional lawsuits.
Thank you. Ms. Williams, you had one other question besides the alcohol tax in Colorado. What was the other? So let me ask the sponsor of the legislation.
Well, currently nothing prohibits people from processing marijuana in their homes. People are free to make butane hash oil in their homes right today. There's no law against it as far as I know. Now, would you rather have people making butane hash oil in their kitchens, or would you rather have it done in industrial regulated facilities?
Well, I think the fact is this does not outlaw one to allow the other. Is that correct?
My point is that if high-quality butane hash oil is available in a regulated environment, people will be less likely to be trying it in their kitchens.
Okay. Thank you.
I guess I would rebut that there have been 31 home butane hash oil explosions in Colorado since the measure took place since January. So I just would like to provide a little bit of context.
How many people have died?
I believe that all of them have been hospitalized, and many of them did not have health care.
And the question that I'd ask is, could the state – would you believe this would be a repeal if the state were to say you couldn't have that kind of an operation in your home?
That would contradict what is in the ballot measure.
Yeah.
And in addition, Alaska communities do not allow homebrew to be made, but you could make, just like you said, you can today. So I don't understand why we need another bill for that. So
thank you. All right. Charlo, you're on. And I hope I pronounced your name.
Well, I really don't even know where to begin, but I would like to give a round of applause to anyone that has come up here to speak and share their marijuana story with the rest of probably the world right now, especially you right here. If you could stand up for a second, I just admire – that's you. Yes, everything you've been doing throughout this entire session is what I hope to inspire. The fact that you are here just – beating the no people back with actual facts that you can check yourself, not that you got from some guy named Bob in the middle of nowhere that came up with something that you're calling a study, and so you're going to shove it down Alaskans' throats to get your advertising company's campaign across. I mean, are you and Deborah related at all? Okay, so you guys are just a group of moms that came together to fight Alaskans' rights. So, well, we've been passing around this little flyer right here that just says, following the – and we ask if you ever wondered why the No On Two campaign is so dedicated to taking away the rights of Alaskans. I mean, this freedom fighter in the audience touched on it. It's because your advertising company – you call yourself a volunteer. We all know that's a joke. We know most of what you've been telling Alaskans – it's horseshit. That's what it is. I'm going to exercise my rights. If you don't want me to exercise my – then I'll go and sit down if that's what you want. But I'm pleading the first. Hello. We're Alaskans. We're exercising our rights. So why is Northwest Strategies so concerned with our youth? Yet this is an image of you. It's not – This is that's not you? Because it was on your website before I mentioned the fact that you guys were funded by Big Alcohol this morning on K-Whale. You guys went to your website and took all of your advertisements for alcohol companies, bars, clubs. Yes, you did. You most certainly did, but you left a few up. And so that's just one of the things that I'm here to bring attention to, is the fact that this campaign is funded by Big Alcohol, which has ruined how many lives in Alaska year after year after year. And you claim to be about Alaska's youth and Alaska's future. Come on. Come on.
Is there a question there?
Yeah. Why exactly is it you are doing what you're doing?
As an Alaska Native, as a mom, as somebody from rural Alaska,
right,
who sees the harm that alcohol and tobacco and other substances
alcohol
have caused our community.
Alcohol? Alcohol. Really? You can't mention alcohol again.
And,
don't do that. You own a bar.
I own a restaurant. One of the owners.
You own a bar.
So
talk out, guys. Talk out. Join the conversation. Join the conversation.
Do you drug test your cooks and DMOs in your restaurant?
I'll ask it for you. I'll speak for you.
Lieutenant Governor, can we have some guidance here about what I should and shouldn't answer?
No, I'm just speaking on behalf of all of you guys. That's the only reason I'm out here.
3 minutes are up.
Are they?
No.
Okay. Well, one last thing I want to say is I'm a medical marijuana card holder, and the fact that you guys chose to legalize medical marijuana back in 98, and 16 years later, there isn't a single brick-and-mortar facility. This is an opportunity to make medical marijuana real. I just hope that all of you guys, regardless of what your stance is on this issue, look at the facts, verify everything Big Alcohol is trying to sell you before you head to the polls. Just stand up. This is what's right. This is the fight for freedom and fairness and liberty here in Alaska. That's all I'm here to say.
You do have a First Amendment right to ask questions, and I'm just asking everyone to be as civil as possible. If you'd like to answer that question, Christina, you're welcome to.
Yes, I'm not really sure what the question was.
The question was about testing.
I am one of the owners. Yeah, there are four. Yeah, I'm sure we do. I mean, I don't run. Can I just qualify for a second, please?
Okay.
Can I just qualify for a second, please? I don't run the restaurant. That's not one of – I'm not management. I really appreciate –
All right, thank you.
If we could focus
you
on the ballot measure.
You may have the
thank
conversation
you.
Outside. Rebecca Logan, you're signed up next to speak. No, thank you. No, sir. Sir, please keep the quorum of the hearing. Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Rebecca Logan. I'm the general manager for the Alaska Support Industry Alliance. We have we represent 500 companies across the state of Alaska who work in the oil, gas, and mining industry, and those companies employ 30,000 people in the state of Alaska, a little bit more than 10% of the total workforce in the state of Alaska. We recently polled our members and asked them, do you believe that the legalization and commercialization of marijuana will impact your ability to hire Alaskan workers? And 80% of them said yes, they did think that would impact their ability. And you have to, this is, we, in the oil, gas, and mining industry, our entire life is safety. And so we are currently opposing the ballot measure because of concerns about employer liability, workplace safety, and workforce development. We make a big attempt to hire Alaskans, and we're already having a really significant problem hiring people in Alaska. About 30% of the people who apply for jobs to our employers are not able to pass a drug test. So, having said that, I would be willing to bet that many of my members agree with some of the things that are being said here by the people who are on the vote no side. And there's an opportunity to educate people and work together on this issue. There's an opportunity for those of you who are so passionate about this to figure out how you can make an employer feel that there isn't more risk, that there isn't more opportunity for workplace injuries, and that there is an opportunity to still have a very talented Alaskan workforce that can work in the oil, gas, and mining industry. You have to be able to pass a drug test to work in the oil, gas, and mining industry. And so I put that out there as a challenge. And then the second thing I will say is, if you think that the way that you're going to educate people or get people to agree with you on this issue is by screaming at people and yelling at people and making personal attacks, I'm going to suggest a different strategy. People are open to hearing what you have to say. They are open to hearing what you have to say. But you can't call people names. You can't sit in a room like this and scream and yell at people. Let's have an honest dialogue about it, okay? Thank you.
Thank you, Rebecca. I just want to ask the pros and the cons. On the issue of workplace safety, is there any comment you'd like to make, Tim, on this, the coverage there? That has not come up very much in our hearings,
right,
Rebecca, so thank you for raising the question.
I'd just like to remind everyone once again that this initiative is not going to bring marijuana into Alaska. Marijuana is already here. Alaska has one of the highest rates
thank
of
you.
Marijuana use in the country. There's no reason to think that that is going to increase substantially following passage of this initiative. So the ability to find employees who can pass a drug test is not going to change. There's nothing in the ballot measure that will prohibit employers from continuing to test if they feel they need to.
Sure.
I guess I would ask Dr. Hinterberger or anyone in the state panel that's on the call, do we have studies that show that marijuana use has stayed flat or gone down in Colorado? I guess that would be one question I'd put on the table. But I'd also like to bring up the Journal of American Medical Association. They've done a study about marijuana use and facts for business and industry, and what they've said that workers who test positive for marijuana use have 55% more industrial accidents, 85% more injuries, and a 75% increase in absenteeism compared to non-smokers. And so I think there are some legitimate concerns about the effective suggested increased use by advertising and marketing that comes with the retail industry, such as we've seen in Colorado.
So, Dr. Herbert, do you have anything you'd like to say in response to that?
The best I can answer, and as you published on the website, Dr. Duncan and Kurtwell, the information is with reports from the National Institute of Drug Abuse, SAMHSA, and the United Nations, there has been an overall increase in the use of marijuana with the legalization of medical marijuana in the 22 states. So there's been an increase in of use over the last 5 or 6 years. In Denver and in Seattle specifically, children's hospitals have reported since the legalization of recreational marijuana significant increases in young children that are getting marijuana that their parents have gotten in the home and had toxicity from that, some of them needing to be placed on ventilators. So that's not specifically just Colorado's data, but we've seen significant increases.
Thank you. And on the issue of workplace safety, which was raised, the study that Christina cited and the law that you said, Tim, where employers would still be able to require drug testing, keep you from working on heavy equipment if you have it, but it's just one where if there's anything else you'd like to add on that or supply for the record, please let us know. Because during all the hearings that we've had on the record, there's been very little discussion of workplace safety, and I'd like to get that on the record if we can.
I'd have to question that the statistics that Tina cited. Just hearing.
Well, if you have another study, you're very welcome to provide it.
I can't comment specifically.
My point there. Okay. Thank you, sir.
I would like to comment on that.
You can put your comment in the form of a question. What's your question? Yeah.
Okay. My question is the statistics that were spread out by the vote no side. Now, is that the active ingredient, or is that just THC in the blood? Because there's a big difference between the active ingredient and
So looking at the study, it doesn't say, but I'll find out and put it on the record for you. But what I will say is that that's part of the concern from an industry standpoint and law enforcement standpoint is there is no discernible test to effectively measure marijuana other than a blood toxicology. And so our industry is oftentimes very remote in Alaska, and that's one of the concerns. And our law enforcement is also remote without the tools to really be able to measure how intoxicated or affected somebody is by marijuana.
Sir, if you've got information you'd like to provide for the record, please do. And it's unfortunate to call people liars in this case. I think we were trying to find the truth. Yeah, we do. We got 17 others to testify, and if you got a question you'd like to provide for the record.
Yes, have you heard of the breathalyzer that they have?
If you've got, I've seen one article on a breathalyzer that is working on this. If you've got information on that, give it to us. We'll put it on the record.
Right, and that's
okay.
The email address is psumcomments, psumcomments at Alaska.
Okay.
Right. All of that will go on the same
sure.
website you talk about it, notice that Alaska.
So that's in the works.
Yep.
As far as testing for the active ingredient, it's in the works.
Yeah.
Right,
Major Casanovas, do you have a breathalyzer that works right now in the field?
Or marijuana? No, sir.
He might have gone home.
No, I think he's
We took you off mute, Major Casanovas, with the Alaska State Troopers. Do you have a breathalyzer that can be used in the field to determine whether or not somebody's actively intoxicated?
For ethyl alcohol, yes, sir.
And how about for marijuana?
Negative.
Okay. And are you aware of some of the ones coming along? I've found a few on the net, but I haven't seen any that are for sale or actively used by law enforcement today. Are you aware of any place else in law enforcement that you'd have this field capability available?
I understand that there are some under testing, but I am not aware of them being commercially available yet.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, our next, we have about 17 more people who've said they'd like to testify. We're going to go until 6 o'clock, take a 15-minute break, and then come back. So we've got about 10 minutes yet. Joe Benkovich.
Hello? Okay, Lieutenant Governor, thank you for the opportunity to have this public hearing and everybody for coming out. I'd just like to say prohibition has been a complete and catastrophic failure. It's time to end it. We're doing it on ours. We're not waiting. We're doing it on our end, on the people's level. We're not having to count on the legislature, our representatives who haven't done anything on it. We're certainly not doing it in Washington. And this has been going on for over 80 years. And I think we've done enough studying. It's time to end it. It's time to end this insane asset forfeitures, this automatic criminalization just when you apply for a job to have to you know, dignify and go into a cup. And
to have that judged as your character? I mean, I smoke all the time, and I haven't missed one day of work. Never called in. I've even been called in on my days off to come in, and I have. So this constant character assassination of us being lazy and unmotivated, get real. I'm a day late. I'm a sick day away from total ruin. I can't afford to take a day off. When I'm scheduled to work, I go up. I show up. So why as an honest worker do I have to continually prove my innocence when I thought we lived in a country where we're innocent until proven guilty? Thank you.
Thank you, sir. I just want to make sure that one question point from your testimony. An employer can still require a drug test, as I understand it, in the draft legislation. Tim is the sponsor. Is that correct?
That's correct.
So you may still need to prove your innocence or the fact that you're not using that drug to keep a particular job, which was one of the points made in the previous testimony. And I just want to make sure that it's not your intent to remove that requirement from the law at the present time. Okay. Thank you. Our next speaker is Melissa Basham, who I may have mangled your name. Melissa, thank you. And on deck is Jay Keener.
Thank you. My name is Melissa Basham, and I'm on the Big Marijuana Big Mistake Vote No on 2 committee. Testifying isn't really my thing, clearly, because I can't find the microphone. But I wanted to share some things about why I personally have gotten involved with this initiative. I've heard a lot of what everyone's had to say and really appreciate everyone's passion about each aspect. I, too, am really passionate about voting no. I know that as I tell my baby, this is the safest you're going to be right now. And I can't regulate irresponsible people's homes. That's something that none of us can do. You can't regulate someone else's home from what they're going to do. And something else that I saw, for example, at the fair on Family Day was the advertising that was used for the proponent campaign tent across from Friar Tuck's corn. And the same advertising was also used with simple words that children can read, saying that, I don't think that that is a good idea for our kids, for our community. Also, for if we're a city that wants to graduate kids 90% by 2020, that's our goal, to help kids be successful in life, and that's the main reason why the advertising is allowed in this ballot measure, and that can't. Yes, I've heard you say that it could be restricted or whatever, but it is allowed in the ballot measure. And the advertising that our kids can see, and when something is legal, it's often perceived as okay. Similar with alcohol, it's perceived as okay maybe, and as you've said, it's not. Just those are my personal opinions and the reason why I wanted to testify and really want to encourage those that maybe sit on the fence to really explore what the ballot measure has to say and what it will mean for our community and providing a safe community for our children to grow up in. Thank you.
So Jay Keener here.
Yeah.
Jay, welcome.
Thank you, everyone. I'm Jay Keener, and I'm just representing Alaska. Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah, well, I'm Jay Keener, and I'm here representing Alaska. All of you, whether you like this or you don't like it, It's really time for this to end. People are in jail right now. There's no reason for them to be in jail except for cops smoking a joint in his car. You know, I hear a lot of people talking about money, and I'm unfair, so I don't really have anything in front of me. I can remember some things, though, that by July next year, Colorado's going to have $25 million in profits from the cannabis trade. And nobody has ever, not one, has ever died from marijuana. I saw somebody pull their card out. So I've been registered in the state of Alaska since 06. I've got cards to prove that. And so I hear about medical marijuana is not working. It's been working for me since 2006. It worked for me this morning. It's going to work tonight, too. It's going to work tomorrow. And it's the only thing, you know, okay, so my condition. I experienced an extremely severe traumatic brain injury. I was drunk. I was really, really drunk. They say, the cops say, I was. Well, they estimated the crash. I was 75 miles an hour into a tree, cottonwood tree. It was about this big around. It's still there. You go look at it, and there's a scar on it, you know, from where my car hit. But that was from alcohol. And I don't drink today, and it's not because of that tree or anything, because it's not, it just doesn't make me feel good. Marijuana really makes everything better for me, just so much better. There's nothing wrong with it except for I get in trouble. And so I hope I'm almost out of time because I don't really have much to say.
Thank you.
We're going to take a 15-minute break, and I want to thank the folks who are online waiting patiently. We'll be back here at 6:15. Thank you.
Down there, I was flashing so bad I had to come home where I can sit and say my piece.
putting these up on the Yeah. I don't think we get in early enough.
For either side.
Spiderweb over there in the window.
Okay.
Turn off it all.
First of all, the lady that is the advertising company that you work with, you can take your profession about this besides your paycheck.
Well, we can try that one.
There are ladies in the room, but I mean, we're a lot smaller. And, my husband is going to be, in the room, there was a I'll be taking the husband's time if he wants to. There was a time when we were property.
If I put the noodles on, can you work them on?
Maybe. Yeah.
Hey, access to it. I know this is the fact that I lost a job. You think you found not going to try to get in the kitchen? You want him in a back alley with somebody rather than in a safe storefront? That's you being right. And as far as I'm saying, well, the workforce quality will go down. Well, we have some of the best workforce. Of the workforce out there that is the highest
looking.
That's my third point. And if, sir, the state governor, if you are able to set up a phone line that people can call in and without being persecuted and their phone numbers not recorded and say, this is my line of profession, I've been interested in it for X years and I smoke, being persecuted or charged with anything, I think you'd be surprised at how many different walks of life you get phone calls from if people have a safe way to admit that they smoke without going to jail or losing their job.
About 3 minutes, I
think. Rather than say, oh, well, this study says this and that study says that, you know what? We don't need the study because we have reality. Reality is our workforce is very professional and among the highest in the world, and 50% of them smoke. And make our nation less safe and more dangerous. Reality is.
I'm going to leave that question. But one of the things I'm going to remind myself of is Thursday and also on the 4th.
All households know that you're putting them on, so this is a full stop you have. And you do it, it's your BFD.
Honestly, we're using different technology at this point.
the video last night. There's one of the outside the door, the most current one. That one's closed for adding people and stuff. So. Yeah, that is.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to come back to order. Our pro-con side and state experts, thank you for your patience. Nobody ever said legislation was easy, and they always said that making legislation is like watching sausage be made. So here you go. We've had it. Our next testifier is Bruce Schulte, if Bruce is still around. Bruce, are you here? Haven't seen you.
All right, I'm going to warn you, usually when I'm in front of a microphone, I'm doing stand-up comedy, so this could get weird. A couple thoughts I just want to share. First of all, my name is Bruce Schulte. I'm here tonight representing the Coalition for Responsible Cannabis Legislation, CRCL. We've talked a lot about ballot measure 2 and what's going to happen up to and on November 4th. The CRCL is concerned about what's going to happen after that. The folks who would want to be involved with the legitimate cannabis industry hope to work with the legislature and with whatever body they designate to come up with practical rules that make sense, consistent with the text of Ballot Measure 2, which I would encourage everybody to read, by the way. So that's what CRCL is all about. I don't want to waste your time with all the minutia. I do want to say, though, that with regard to, like, butane hash oil and such, I really wish I had a blowtorch and one of those little Energizer bunnies. I don't know what I would do with it, but it'd be really funny. You know, I have to wonder, though, I mean, on a serious note, I have to wonder, like, during prohibition of alcohol, how many backyard stills exploded, you know, when people were making homebrew. We're kind of in the same place with marijuana. That's not my main point, but, you know, it's something to consider. I would throw this out. By some estimates, currently there are roughly 16% of the Alaska population consuming marijuana. That's 110,000 people plus. That's today. That's forget Prop 2. That's happening right now today. That's how many people are consuming marijuana in Alaska, which means there is an industry supporting those consumers. That's here. That's now. That's happening. That's not going away. So the question before the voters on November 4th, it's not, should we have a marijuana industry in Alaska? We've got that. The question is, should we have a marijuana industry that is regulated controlled and taxed in a sensible manner. Now, I'm in an odd position here. I am a conservative Republican. I'm probably going to vote a straight Republican ticket in November. So I have a lot more in common with some of my opposition than others do. On this point, I disagree with them. I'm voting yes on Prop 2, and I'll explain one reason why. If you look at you look at this industry, you got 100,000 users. Depending on how many ounces per year those folks consume and what the street price is that you apply to that, we're looking at a roughly $60 to $80 million industry. It's not taxed, it's not regulated. There's no guidelines on packaging, on marketing, on displaying it. I can tell you one thing though: the people that are selling it are absolutely not asking for ID because there's no incentive to do so. Stark difference between marijuana and alcohol. Now, I agree with the opposition on one key point, on several actually. One of those is availability of marijuana and marijuana products to those under 21. That's a problem. I agree with you. And what I can say is this: 40 years of marijuana prohibition has not made marijuana unavailable to minors. That was true when I was in high school. It's true today. Marijuana is much easier to get for those underage than alcohol is, because for alcohol you've got to go to somebody who's 21 or over who's willing to take the risk of buying it for them. Marijuana, you don't have that kind of dynamic at work. I'm not sure where I was going to go with that. The point, okay, I'm running out of time. Yeah, this is just like comedy. I got 3 minutes, then I get the light. So here's the deal. Prop 2 is not about whether we're going to have an industry. It's about what that industry is going to look like. Ballot Measure 2 does make provisions for packaging, for labeling, for advertising. It gives the legislature the latitude to define what this industry will look like around the edges. They can't change the fundamental core of the legislation, but they can adjust it if they don't fundamentally change it. And I think, and that's one area in which I would take issue with some of the folks that spoke earlier. So I would encourage everybody to read Ballot Measure 2, look at what it is and what it is not. Marijuana is not a horrible, scary thing, not like alcohol. Alcohol is horrible and scary in my experience. Marijuana is not. I've found it to be a fairly benign product. By the way, I don't consume it myself because I'm in an industry where I get drug tested, and I accept that, and I accept that responsibility because I'm a responsible adult. I think other responsible adults should be able to make that choice for themselves. Vote 2. Yes, on Prop 2. Thanks for your time.
Is that Gary Lyons here? Gary.
How are we all doing today? My name's Gary, if you didn't hear. I wasn't going to say much about this because I'm one of those who smokes bud, but I'm like the closet smoker, that person who's, not interested in the world knowing that, I smoke bud. People smoke cigarettes at work. I go outside and hit my pipe and go back inside because that's what helps me be able to go back to work and finish my shift and do what I have to do as far as performing and maintaining my job and doing what I have to do. First time I smoked pot, I was like 16 years old. My parents found out about it. They told me not to do it anymore while I was at home, which I respect my parents, and so I didn't. At 18, I told my mom, this is something that I want to do. It's something that I'm kind of passionate about, something that I just love, something I like, something I enjoy. I love the smell of it. To me, it drives me nuts. I moved out of my house at 18, moved in with some friends who we grew pot kind of to pay our rent here in town. And we, got in some trouble and whatnot, and, that all came to an end. And we decided that, I didn't decide. They decided, my friends decided that they were going to move to California and do it legally. And I just came back from California, and I have a medical, I have a bad back. And so, I'm prescribed things. And while I was in California, it was just amazing to me. I didn't have to take any medication or anything. All I did was smoke down there, and I was, like, good to go every day, every morning. I'm sure the weather had a little bit to do with it because, the cold is what kind of kills my back. It makes my, my disc crunch and stuff. But, I thought the weather had a lot to do with it, but it was just something to me where it was like, I told myself when I was down there, I'm like, I'm just, I'm on board with this. Like, I'm just so full-fledged about, you know, being able to smoke, and because to me there's nothing wrong with it, you know, like underage thing, you know, if kids respect their parents, they should be able to say, you know, this isn't what's right, and, you know, me, I have respect, so I'm going to say, okay, Mom, you know, you don't want this in your house.
Economics. We will save money in this state. Let's face it, if we pass it, we'll get more tourists. And then the other piece is that we'll all save money with less incarceration costs. We are literally putting young people in jail and paying hundreds of dollars a day to incarcerate them. And that's not right. Number two, as far as the law and order piece, with taking away the criminalization piece, you
okay.
stop the Keystone Cop thing where instead of focus on that 19-year-old, that 18-year-old, thank you, my brother, to bust him or to shut down something, let's focus on a crime that hurts people. Let's focus on things that are really hurting people, and let's stop persecuting our youth. We know the medical benefits of marijuana. People with cancer, people with AIDS, people with chronic pain, people with arthritis, people with different afflictions, Parkinson's. We know the benefits of that. We know the alternative is pharmaceuticals. We know the side effects. We've heard the commercials, causes drop dead, kidney problems, liver problems, all that other stuff. Why take a chemical when you could take a plant and feel good about that? The other piece, when people talk about edibles and the hash oils and all the other things, if this legislation passes, we can modify that. As a community, we can come together. Even people that use the marijuana can say, no edibles.
No.
Label it. Make sure that that kid doesn't think that candy is real candy. And we have to be responsible to make sure that they don't, that it doesn't get in their hands, just like alcohol. The other piece, when we look at the youth, just like my brother said, that the youth are doing it. We have abstinence laws, but we know that children are having sex. We say, just say no, but we know that they're doing different things. So let's be responsible. Let's be in reality and make sure that we're dealing with it from a real perspective. And then finally, I just want to say that we can save money. We can improve the quality of lives of people that are in pain, that this is a medicine for. Also, we can make changes in the law if necessary. But for God's sake, let's give it a chance. Let's be on the cutting edge and vote yes on number two. Thank you so much, and God bless you.
Can I just say one more thing real quick? Sure. And well, why don't you come up to the mic so others online can hear you. But before you do, you did have some time left over. Mr. Brown, we have somebody from the Department of Corrections online, and this statement has not been made in this hearing. If the person from Corrections is still online, can you tell us how many people in the Alaska system are there for marijuana violations right now? I only ask the question because it's come up in almost every other hearing, And it was a relatively low number. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
The other piece,
Sherry, are you online?
Sharon is.
Sharon, could you? Yeah, I'm sorry. How many people are in jail right now for marijuana offenses? Okay. No, that was Sharon Rockefeller.
I just want
okay.
To make the
point, right.
Lieutenant Governor.
Sure.
Is that we know that the one is too many. First of all, so if it's 11, that's 11 too many. 10, you know, 11 too
okay.
many. But the other piece is that how many charges have been filed? We know that people have gotten arrested. They may have gotten the charges dropped or reduced. They may have pleaded out to a misdemeanor, but it still goes on their record. And so, and then there's discretion with that law enforcement officer. Which one do you choose to prosecute, and which one you say go home and don't ever do it again? So sometimes just being on the record, it's not that you have to put them in jail, but prosecution, those are costs. Go to court, get the lawyer. Sometimes, you know, our public defenders and our prosecutors, they have a lot of caseloads. We can reduce that.
Yeah, I just had one last thing I was going to say. You know, I was reading up here when you had first put up that thing about all the people who were anti the whole, you know, the whole bud law thing. And, you know, knock on wood, because I don't do this anymore, but there have been three times in my life that I have been pulled over. The cop has either smelt bud, I was consuming at the time of being pulled over, or such. And, you know, grace through faith, the cop has either followed me home or told me to, you know, pretty much each time he's, well, the one time he followed me home, the other two times they told me to go straight home. But that right there tells me that not all of the, you know, the defense department is against people who smoke bud. Because if that was the case, I would have three little, you know, whatever they're called, misdemeanors, whatever they are, for consuming under the influence while driving. But then, you know, it's the opposite with my sister, because it's happened to her once, and she has an OUI for it. So that's just, you know, something else I wanted to add.
Yeah. And I guess all I'd say, sir, is whatever happens, help us keep people who are intoxicated one way or the other off the streets. That's very important.
Hey, Governor, I do have a question for the staff. As far as the
Are you signed up to testify?
I had a question for you.
Okay, go ahead.
Is that as far as people who are in jail for crimes related to marijuana, normally they are not solely charged with possession of marijuana. It's normally an add-on.
Sure.
So they're charged with one crime and then they receive additional crime or additional time in jail because of possession of marijuana. Are there any statistics or numbers in relation to that as far as how much additional time people are serving in jail that's tacked on?
Why don't we do this? Because the expert at the Department of Corrections has answered a couple of questions like that, I'll refer you to what's been on the record at elections, or I'm sorry, notice.alaska.gov. And if you give Michaela your email address, Michaela is here at the end of the table, we'll try to get an answer for you, and we'll also put it up on the website. Okay? Thank you. Our next person to testify is Andrew Campbell, if I've got your handwriting correct. And for those of you who are waiting online, we're almost through our list, and I thank you for your patience.
Hello, my name is Andrew Campbell. I'm a medical marijuana user. I'm in support of marijuana legislation. I'm a disabled vet, 100%. I suffer from tinnitus neuropathy, which is a nerve disorder, fibromyalgia, which is also related to nerve issues, and chronic fatigue. I suffer from arthritis, and I have degenerative discs and muscle spasms. So it's my list of issues is quite lengthy, and that's just the severe ones. A decade ago, I drank alcohol in excess to relieve the pain that I have every day. That alcohol consumption was reduced when I sought treatment at the VA. The VA proceeded to suggest that I take prescription medications over the course of 10 years. It ended up being hundreds of different kinds of medications, many of which were very detrimental to my health, including but not limited to the most extreme, which were over a dozen suicide attempts. I currently take no prescription medications whatsoever. The only medication that I take on a daily basis is medical marijuana. It helps me, and I think that it can help a lot of other people in this state. One of the things I'd like to say about the state of our nation is that personal responsibility is about no longer existent anymore. And what I mean by that, I'll give you an example. When the No campaign is talking about children, when they always bring up the children and the access that children have to marijuana and other substances, no one's talking about the liquor cabinets in people's homes, the medications in people's medicine cabinets in their bathrooms. All of these substances are extremely harmful to children. I think if people just exercised more personal responsibility, you know, the simple thing of just locking your medicine up, you know, it's going to solve that problem. So that's pretty much not an argument in my book. All of my medicine is locked, double locked actually, because I have two children, you know, and I want to make sure that they stay safe, even though I don't believe that necessarily that marijuana is going to harm them, especially not like some of the other medications are going to, so, or alcohol for that matter. That's all I have to say. Thank you very much.
Don Hart here from Wasilla. See if I can get it where you can hear me. I don't use marijuana. I don't use any kind of drugs at all. But the reason I wanted to talk to you was about what's really happening in the legal profession. I've been working in the legal profession for a great many years, helping a lot of people. And one of the discoveries that we had when getting a lot of cases dismissed was law enforcement officers were using the pretext of smelling marijuana in order to enter people's homes. It was a device that they developed for the purpose of circumventing your constitutional rights to privacy that's included in the Alaska Constitution. After we were able to do that, and one of the district attorneys was transferred to Bethel as a result of dismissing over 200 different pending felony marijuana cases, then they came up with another program, and they came up with an affidavit that says they, in 200 different cases that they had tested afterwards and prosecuted people for, they were able to say conclusively that every time they smelled marijuana, it was a commercial marijuana grow. They used that in order to circumvent the case that got rid of the cases before. So they've been using it, and then after that, they came up with the methuana bill that they crammed through down there, and they got that passed. And then so you have this problem. The reason that I'm supporting two is because this proposition is because if you get that passed, it will stop law enforcement officers coming up and saying, I smell marijuana, or I think I smell marijuana, whether it's in your car, whether it's in your home, whether it's in your outbuilding. There's nothing done to a law enforcement officer that kicks your door down and come in and searches your house for a pretext of a marijuana smell, seizing your assets, scaring your families to death. There's no consequences for him doing that. And he's validly being able to execute his job by doing that. This will stop that. At least it will make him go and apply for a search warrant before he comes and does something like that. But that's the reason that I'm supporting it. Thank you.
Thank you. Major Casanovas, you just heard this testimony. Is there anything you'd like to add on that just in terms of current procedure? You got that on the record. And this is what would happen in a legislative hearing, by the way. I'm not trying to pit
your one word against another.
Yeah, the preponderance for being able to enter a residence is still based on consent by search warrant or by the ability to prove that there was some exigency, such as the reason for the call to the residence being a potential assault in progress or some emergency event that a law enforcement officer would need to go inside.
Okay. So is smell a reason to go into a residence at this point?
Without consent, without search warrant, or without exigency, no, you could not go in legally.
Okay. Sir. Yeah, yeah. Come on up to the mic, sir. Yeah.
Would you deny just what you stated? Would you deny that a law enforcement officer walks up, knocks on a door, has the people open the door to answer the door, and then sticks his foot in the door and says, I can't let you close that door because you might be going for a weapon? And then he tells them, I smell marijuana, so you're going to have to let me in, or else I'm going to tear your house up whenever I get a search warrant. Do you deny that those things actually occur on a daily basis in the state of Alaska and have been since this thing has been pushed through these people and denying their right to privacy under the Constitution? It goes on repeatedly. In over 300 cases I've worked on myself personally, working with attorneys, I've seen it myself personally. I'm pushing for the fact to get our right to privacy restored, to protect the people's rights in the Constitution, to prevent you from overstepping your bounds. That's what I'm after.
And Major?
Yes, Lieutenant Governor.
Did you want to answer that at all?
You know, I think that was more of a statement than it was a question.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much. And I have to say that there are a lot of questions like that in terms of law enforcement procedures that have come out, and you've just had a colloquy on the record, and those issues may come up later in intent questions there, which is why we're having this kind of hearing. Rhonda Marcy also is here to testify, and on deck is Andrew Dowd.
My name's Rhonda Marcy. I'm a paralegal also from Wasilla. I also support what Mr. Hart says in the fact that we do see where people, they have used smell even as a basis to grant search warrants. I want to address some of the statistics that they had pointed up here earlier today. Some of them talking about NIDA and the health studies. Some of you in the audience are probably too young to remember the early studies that were first had to overcome, where they said it caused brain damage. And how they tested for the brain damage is they put masks on monkeys and put so much smoke into the monkeys that they couldn't get any oxygen. They, of course, had brain damage. Carbon monoxide poisoning will do that to you. I want to be a voice up here to talk about the things that I've been trying to talk about in the state from the early 80s and legalization. One of those is hemp. Hemp is a cousin of marijuana, if you must. Still a cannabis sativa plant, and it has all kinds of properties, including the purse that I'm wearing is made from hemp. It can make all kinds of fiber, carpets, paints, glass. They're making buildings with it. There's a whole industry that their figures haven't even looked at. I'd like to address your statistics from Colorado. I just saw something today that in the month of July, Colorado had gotten $7 million just from the tax revenues from legalization in their state. Nobody I've talked to and the people that I know in Colorado have had any complaints about the legalization movement. If they're not part of the activities of legalization, they haven't really noticed that much difference in their state. I've been a resident of the state of Alaska since 1963. I used to work with Deborah Williams at a law firm here in Anchorage years ago. I had a lot of respect for Deborah Williams back in the day. I had respect for Deborah Williams working in the as the Department of Interior. But these days, watching your coverage and your coverage of this issue, my respect has fallen immensely. And part of the things I'm not hearing people talk about when you talk about the medical benefits and children is what I'm seeing on my Facebook feed day in and day out is children who have irreversible brain cancer, who have epilepsy where they're having 2,500 seizures a day, and they've gone through all kinds of pharmaceutical remedies, and their children are suffering in front of them, and they give them cannabis oil. It's not the hemp oil you buy at the store. It's not the butane oil that you're talking about earlier. It's oils that are based in even olive oil or butter basement that stops their children suffering, that stops their having to be on 25 or more pharmaceutical medications. I want to caution the state about taking the approach where we take apart, let's remove the THC and the CBD. The blend of both of them have a medicinal value. And the most medicinal thing about the marijuana plant is the meat of the seed of the plant, 2,500 milligrams of omega 3, 6, and 9. People that don't eat salmon, you get 250 milligrams out of a 4-ounce piece of salmon. You get 2,500 milligrams out of 3 tablespoons of hemp nut. Alaska needs to step up, sir. Alaska needs to be part of getting our farmers back to work, getting growing in the valley, looking at all the properties of the plant that could help save our planet. Thank you.
I just wanted to say on that issue, in earlier hearings, the question of growing hemp had come up. If I'm not mistaken, there's a provision in the bill that would allow the tax on the hemp issues to be less. But that's also an issue. Is hemp allowed to be grown now?
No, consider marijuana under our
state. Yeah, even neutral.
Less than 3% of the law does not
make it. Okay. Thank you. Andrew Dapp. And after Andrew is Autumn Bronson.
Good evening. My name is Andrew Dowd. I'm a private citizen here in Anchorage, and I am for legalization, voting yes on two. And I just wanted to come up here and state a couple things because it seems to me that this issue is really a defining issue of our time because I'm 23 years old. I'm sorry, but those of you over the age of 30, this is not really going to be your problem. It's going to be our problem. People keep talking about the youth of Alaska and the youth of this nation. We're the ones who are going to have to deal with this, not you. And I'm sorry, but you've been disingenuous. For example, Dr. Stewart talked about the drop in IQ points of 8 points. That was a study done in New Zealand that was debunked later because it's the same drop in socioeconomic factors. Explain the same difference. And as far as the hash oil, butane oil, love the props. That was cute. First off, that was a gigantic torch. I've never seen one used that big before, but, you know. It's a pain in the butt to make hash oil, and it's not really cost-effective. So the idea that all of a sudden everyone's going to be growing hash oil in their house and houses are going to be blown up is just not true. I believe it takes about 1 ounce to 1 ounce of flowers to hash oil. So you don't see it that often. But I think the most important thing we have to remember is that there is no possibility, virtually, of overdose on marijuana. I'm sorry, but any further argument is moot because we regulate and tax alcohol here, and we have domestic violence problems, the highest in the country, really, and we have deaths from alcohol annually. There has never been a legitimate recorded case of marijuana overdose in the history of the human race. Not one. I sorry, that's just, that's it for me. So.
Can I ask the pro or con side if you'd like to respond or on that issue, on the overdose issue or dosage issue?
I guess I would just ask if Dr. Hurlburt is on the phone, if he could talk about some of the human toll at the hand of marijuana, to be implied that there is no human toll.
Yes, I would refer back to the material that's online, but clearly the previous time there was a question about worker safety, and this is a quote from the National Institute of Drug Abuse. Examining drug-tested federal employees, researchers found that those who tested positive for cannabis on a pre-employment year analysis had 55% more industrial accidents, 85% more injuries, and a 75% increase in absenteeism compared to those who tested negative. In terms of the brain changes, from the reading of the scientific literature that I do, and I've is different than the previous gentleman understood, anatomic changes to the amygdala in the brain are similar to what you see in brains of individuals with schizophrenia. In terms of physical addiction with physical withdrawal symptoms, which is the definition of addiction, some of the numbers have been quoted. For an individual who uses marijuana occasionally, it's about a 1 in 9 chance. For an individual who starts as an adolescent, 1 in 6. For the individual who smokes just one joint a day, but who smokes daily, it's a 25% to 50% chance of physical addiction. And as I say, I base these on material from the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, from the United Nations, the National Institute of Drug Abuse, from National Institutes of Health. I think all will be regarded as credible sources, trying to present an objective opinion on that.
Okay, and then to the question that was raised, is it possible to physically overdose on marijuana? And one of the reasons why I asked the question is not only did the previous speaker bring that up, but also there's provision to regulate safety here, and what kinds of regulation of safety of potency would we want to think about if Colorado's thinking about it or Washington's thinking about it?
As has been pointed out before, it's not as easy because you don't have a breathalyzer test that's available, although may be coming. But there have been studies which reveal, which get at the compromise of the ability to react and the ability to drive, and relatively low levels in the blood will impact the driver as much or more as the 0.08 of alcohol there.
So, but in terms of an overdose, is it possible to overdose on this drug?
The reports that I alluded to earlier just recently, and that's on the list with an article from Los Angeles Times. It's the children's hospitals in both Denver and Seattle have reported the increase of young children with a number of them have and having intubated and placed on ventilators because of the suppression among the young kids who have obtained marijuana product at home, their parents have taken.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I don't believe you've actually addressed the question. Is it possible to overdose from this drug? Stop talking about brain abnormalities.
Listen, please be respectful. He's, you know. Yeah, sure. All right, guys, let's hear him out. He's the state medical officer and has a lot to do to help protect our health on a lot of different issues.
Thank you, Lieutenant Governor. Sir, I'm trying to present the objective evidence from individuals who are neither the advocacy or the con side, the scientific evidence, and to get at that specific question, I have a whole stack of material here, and what I will do is pull out the response and submit that. I don't just talk on my personal opinion. I'm trying to incite the scientific sources.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
There's one other question here in the audience, sir. Are you aware of anyone who's died, you know, in the same way that you could die from too much heroin or too much alcohol?
No, I can't do that now.
Thank you. And I will tell you, having had a wife who passed away from cancer, I ask a lot of direct questions of doctors, and I am glad when they cite evidence, and sometimes the evidence doesn't exactly answer the question the way it's been asked. And Dr. Herbert, you've been very patient with us for several hours on five different hearings. Ms. Williams, you had a question.
I would just ask Herbert and others to look at the example of a case in Colorado where the young man ate edibles, had a psychotic break associated with eating the edibles, jumped to his death.
Okay. All right, that's fine. And
I do urge
Dr. Herbert, if you've got some literature on that particular death in Colorado where a young man jumped to his death, that would be helpful. Thank you.
Okay, I will look for that. June 5th issue of the New England Journal of Medicine cites the adverse effects of both short and long-term use. And they recommend that for short-term use, among other things, in high doses, paranoia and psychosis is seen in long-term use, increased risk of chronic psychosis disorders, persons with such predisposition, but it doesn't specifically address that, and I will look for that.
Okay, thank you. Autumn Bronson? Autumn, thank you. And was there someone else trying to have an intervention here online?
Oh, I've been waiting, Sharon Rockefeller.
We'll be with you. There's after Autumn. We have two more people that signed up to testify here. Then
okay.
We're going to the online. So thank you.
Okay. So I didn't plan this, to talk, and like everyone disappeared. So, Ovunga Atera Amy, I am Autumn Bronson from Kotzebue, Alaska, and I think I have a pretty good idea about representing natives in general, so I'm a bit offended. Like, I don't know, he brought up the native in you, but I'm like, what about it? Did you see the alcohol problems in the villages that are going on now? They just passed this law in Kotzebue a couple years ago. There is a limit on how much people can buy. You have to buy a permit, and there's a limit on how much alcohol you can buy. And I'm not even old enough to buy alcohol, and I was exposed to all of this way before marijuana. I was exposed to drugs, like hard drugs. My parents were drug addicts, and it didn't bring me up in a wrong way at all. I was a 3.8 GPA student in high school. I did good. I did it good on my own. I paid for my own braces in high school. I bought my own vehicle, and I moved out at 16. And it didn't affect me, and I became super depressed with no childhood, honestly, because I moved away. Went to North Pole High School, and that's when my parents, they diminished on other hard drugs, and this was the only thing that helped me. I felt better, and I don't even smoke now, and it's mainly because I got a charge, and it scares the crap out of me, and that's all you guys are trying to do, scare me, and it's not going to work. Like, there's too much of us here in Alaska that no, it's not that harmful. And we need to come up with a compromise, not back and forth fighting. We definitely need to compromise because you guys are denying the facts that it can be helpful. That's it.
Thanks. Mary Quinn Peterson, you didn't indicate if you wanted to testify. Did you want to testify? Hearing none. Kim Garner.
Hello. Okay, so as a mom and a teacher of high school and a concerned citizen of Anchorage, I'm voting yes on ballot measure two for many, many reasons. Now, we know that marijuana is prolific in the state and that prohibition has already failed here since we have the highest per capita rate of use in the nation. Ironically, it's probably easier for teenagers to obtain it in schools than it is for responsible adults to get it. We need to regulate and tax marijuana, and in doing so, take it out of the hands of the black market. These criminals do not card our children like responsible businesses will. In the first 6 months of legalization in Colorado, a study done by the CDC showed that teen use went down by about 2%, as opposed to most states where it increased. I was just talking to a couple of students today who told me it's easier for them to get marijuana in school than it is for them to get alcohol. This demonstrates that alcohol regulations are working to limit underage access, and we need to do the same thing with marijuana. If we follow in Colorado's footsteps, which is the intention, the schools are already seeing the benefits of additional health care nurses, counselors, drug education programs, and capital maintenance to school buildings that were supplied by taxes from marijuana. We could have the same thing here, which would benefit the students by giving them more support for graduation as well as overworked staff. More building maintenance money for schools from taxes means less demand on property owners in school bonds. The dispensaries in Colorado have provided over 10,000 jobs for growers, and as a teacher, I'm concerned about job availability for my students. And the 10,000 jobs for growers, security, and dispensary staff, which will be good-paying jobs for our high school graduates, since once they turn 21, of course, so they can be productive members of our society. The 10,000 statistic doesn't even include the jobs that are indirectly linked to big businesses like accountants and lawyers and construction crews needed to set up the grows and dispensaries. This will pump so much money into our economy that will benefit all socioeconomic levels. To the woman who spoke about how it would be difficult for the oil and gas industry to hire employees if this measure passes, all I have to say is that if the individual's choice to smoke pot or not, just like it is their choice to work for the gas and oil industry, if they know that there's a drug test and they want the job, they just won't smoke. It should not be the government's responsibility to deny this freedom, and it certainly should not be the oil and gas industry's responsibility to deny this freedom either. I also think that we need a much better system for medical patients than we currently have in the state. You know how some people like aspirin for headaches while others reach for ibuprofen and others swear by Excedrin? Just because every body reacts slightly differently to the drugs. The same thing goes for marijuana. Let's say you discover that you have cancer. In addition to this devastating news and the knowledge that you're about to go through chemotherapy and that you could die, you now have to research which strains are appropriate for some people who have your illness and receive your chemo drugs. Then you have to research how to illegally obtain the plants, and then you have to research how to grow it. It then takes 3 to 4 months for them to flower, and by the time you can finally use your medicine that you have worked so hard for while being incredibly ill the entire time, the best case scenario is that your chemo is over and you don't have the same dire need for it. The worst case scenario is that you desperately need it and the strain doesn't work very well for you and you have to start all over. Doesn't it make more sense to be able to walk into a dispensary, ask advice from somebody who does this for a living? If one strain doesn't work, you can come back the next day and try something different. We can reduce people suffering overnight.
You can go. In the last hearing, that study, particular study, was referred to in the presentation. Just to qualify that, the two largest school districts in Colorado were not included in that study, so it is incomplete in terms of the data.
But is the
It was in terms of the teen use, the adolescent use is the study that I was talking about.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. We now have online Michael Williams, Elizabeth Ivan, and Elizabeth Lake, all from the native village of Akiak, who asked to testify. Oh. Okay. Thanks. Michael, if you're still online, please go ahead, and then we'll come back into the hall. Michael, can you hear me? He may have dropped off. Sharon Rockefeller has been patiently waiting. Sharon, are you online?
I am.
You've got 3 minutes.
Good. Ready?
Where are you?
I'm in Wasilla.
Okay, thank you.
My name is Sharon, and I support Yes on Two. I'm 71 years old. I'm retired, and like I said, I live in Wasilla. I've never been a regular user, and I have no secret agenda for promoting the passage of Yes on Two. I am a mother, grandmother, former healthcare employee at Alaska Hospital, and I'm also a hospice volunteer, which I have been doing since 2000. I've been working with patients who have terminal diseases, some of which are in great pain and can be relieved by the use of marijuana. I've searched the internet and I've talked with healthcare professionals, MDs and professors, who agree that cannabis should be an allowed substance. I'm a grandmother of 5 children, 3 in Alaska and 2 elsewhere. I also have a daughter who has been in law enforcement for over 20 years, and she has daughters ages 2 and 5. She has seen the effects of marijuana as a teenager, an adult, and now as a member of law enforcement. Although she doesn't personally use it, she favors the decriminalization, and she so that she and her coworkers can devote their time to issues involving true police work, protection, and safety of all citizens. I have personally known people who have used marijuana for over 50 years and have gone on to lead safe, honest, hardworking lives. I looked on the internet and found that as far back as the early 40s, cannabis was included in the official authority for prescription and over-the-counter drugs, pharmacopoeia. About 30 years ago, the pharmaceutical companies came up with a prescription drug they call Marinol, which was approved by our FDA for treating AIDS patients. It's a synthetic version of cannabis, not nearly as effective as relieving pain. In addition, there are other prescription medications that have later hit the market, all approved by the FDA. Considering the loss of revenue for our major pharmaceutical companies, is it any wonder there is an effort being made to outlaw cannabis? I also question FDA's motives in approving the use of these other medications and disapproval of the legalization of marijuana, proven to work better for many diseases our friends and neighbors are suffering from. I am no more worried about marijuana being legal than I am that alcohol is legal. Both used in moderation are not different. Actually, if you think about it, most substances are dangerous if used in excess, and that includes even water. I've heard of people dying over water consumption. If the same over 21 rules are applied with marijuana, I see no problems, only benefits used with caution and responsibility. As far as people who are concerned...
Sharon, you're on three minutes now. I'm sorry I have to interrupt you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, and we'll be actually in Wasilla on Thursday if you'd like to come testify in person.
I'd love to do that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Scott Lane, you said you were unsure. Are you interested in testifying? Hearing none. Tammy Wilkes? Danny Bickford?
I'm here.
Is that Danny or Tammy?
This is Danny Bickford.
Danny, how are you?
I'm well. How about you, Lieutenant Governor?
Good.
Great.
Speak up for 3 minutes.
All right. Cut me off if I go on a little long here. My name is Danny Bickford, and I'm in Anchorage, Alaska. I can't be with you right now because the baby is taking a nap. My 10-month-old is taking a nap, so we're here at home. I came to Alaska 11 years ago with a military family. I graduated from the University of Alaska Fairbanks in 2006. I've been a journalist and then a legislative aide. I've had a blast living in Alaska. I would have never had the opportunities that I've had here if I'd lived anywhere else in the world. I'd also like to state up front that I am an employee of the campaign to regulate marijuana like alcohol as field director, and I'd really like to thank my colleagues from the other side with Big Marijuana, Big Mistake, who have also respectfully stated their affiliations. I think that's honest. So thank you for doing that. I'd like to start by saying that I voted against marijuana legalization in 2004 when I was given the opportunity at the age of 19. I was told one thing about marijuana when I was growing up, and now I'm 29, and I've long changed my mind after personal experience with seeing the impact of alcohol versus marijuana on my peers, whether in college or in my life as an adult Alaskan. But one of my main concerns is as a mom. I think I'm perfectly capable of talking to my 10-month-old daughter as she grows up about marijuana, and there's a lot of work that I already have to do. I have to talk to her about online safety, bullying, how women are portrayed in the media, about how to protect herself from domestic violence and sexual assault, about watching what she puts on when she decides that it's time to go out the door to go to school, about being kind to others, and thinking before she speaks, all these things. I have a big job ahead of me as a mother of a girl in today's world. I find it alarming that under the current way our laws are applied, that her life could be ruined before it has a chance to begin if she decides to consume marijuana before she's ready to make that choice. I should be able to parent the way that I feel is right for my child and having her grow up to become a responsible adult with a sense of right and wrong. I don't know if she'll make that choice to use marijuana in the future, but if she does, I should be able to talk to her about her choice and guide her in the aftermath and be a loving mother without government interference. You know whose harm my daughter decides to consume alcohol, tobacco, or marijuana, or do anything else that she sees before she's capable of making those decisions? I'm the one who's hurt, but I can get over disappointment with her. That doesn't last long. But what I can't get over is the idea of government policy in place today that can prevent her from going down a good path in her life, even if she makes a minor mistake along the way. That's why we're at it. I'm confident that our state legislature has worked so hard to get disgusting synthetic marijuana and other similar drugs off of our shelves. I'm sure that that work best for our Alaskan communities. This ballot measure will do a much better job of taking marijuana off of the streets and safely behind a counter where someone will card it or will customer before they have access to it than the free-for-all that exists today. And many of us parents are being told that legalizing marijuana sends a poor message to our children, that it being illegal will impress a shocking hypocrisy on them. Well, you know,
Danny, we're at 3 minutes, so.
No problem. You guys get the gist. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Adele Davis?
Yes?
Your turn.
Thank you. My name is Adele. I am from Anchorage, Alaska. And sorry I couldn't make it there this evening, but I'm sure you'll see me at a couple of the other meetings.
Please go ahead. She may have gotten cut off. And Adele, if you are hearing, please call back. Is Tim Minton online? And how about Jeff Russell? We may have lost the call. Cameron, why don't you check on the call? The call is important because, I'll get to you in just a second. The call is important simply because we have made a tape recording of all these hearings, and we do that with all legislation that's before the legislature. It's important to get the intent. There have been questions here where there's
This is Adele Davis from Anchorage. I wanted to give a testimony and ask everyone to please try and keep two things at the forefront of your mind. Let's not get too bogged down in studies. Let's work with history and reality. We already know that reality is Over 50% of the Alaska workforce as adults are marijuana users. We are some of the best and most professional workers in this country. So apparently, their use of marijuana has lessened our workforce. All the moms in the room, you know, I ask you again to deal in reality. You know, our wishes, we want to keep our children safe. Our wish is that they all stay small and sweet-smelling where we can cuddle them forever. But the best way to keep them safe is by dealing with reality. The reality is that the marijuana industry is here in Alaska in the black market. People are putting themselves in danger to access it because there are not safe accesses to it. Just as we have learned and grown with many of our other laws in this country over the years, we as women and mothers, there was a time when we didn't even have legal rights to our children. We didn't have legal rights. We were property. We did not even have the right to vote. There was a time when the law was the rule of thumb, which meant your husband had the right to beat you with anything that wasn't larger than his thumb. Just as we learned and grew, and those laws, their time came and passed, it is time for this law to pass. We need to move forward based in reality. We don't need studies because we have history to go by. The history of prohibition in this country does not work. Just when they made alcohol illegal, did it stop people from accessing it? No. What it did was make our nation a much more dangerous place to raise children. So when we deal with our wishes rather than reality, and when we forget history, we're doomed. It is time to deal with this in a reasonable and adult manner. And also, on the taxes, people, let's look at this as it's a simple fact. The taxes would help each and every household in this state, people who consume as well as those who don't, because our property taxes would go down. And, you know, maybe depending on how they use the taxes, your PFDs might go up. But the main thing we need to do is let's keep this discussion civil. You win a lot more people with honey than you do with vinegar. But let's try to keep the discussion based in, number one, fact; number two, reality. And as a mother of grown sons, I understand our desire to wish that the marijuana would just disappear, that it's not here, but it is here. So let's make it here and available to responsible adults in a reasonable and logical manner instead of dealing on wishes and going by these so-called studies that we don't need because we have reality and history to base our decisions on. And I, like other people in the room, my question, Ms. Deborah, what is your motive besides a paycheck? My motive is to see our children here in Alaska safe, because there will be fewer backdoor dealers if there are safe accesses for legal adults. And as they've said many times throughout that meeting, the dealers out there are not asking for ID.
So Adele,
and I have other – yes, sir?
Yeah, we've gotten to 3 minutes. I appreciate your offer to come and testify in person at one of our future hearings, or we've got one in Wasilla on Thursday. And thank you. Ms. Williams, you know, you asked about a person's motivation, and I'm not going to call on that person to speak or answer that question. I will tell you, I know people on both sides of this issue who have very strong beliefs, who are working very hard, and I'm not going to question either side's motivation at this point. You can, but I won't. Is Tim Minton online? Deborah, did you want to say? And Miss Williams says that she is not being paid. And do you have any conflict of interest in the alcohol industry? Okay, so Mrs. Williams does not have any conflict of interest either in the marijuana or in the alcohol industry. All right.
Thank you. And may I say that if there was a way for more adults to be able to feel like they could tell you honestly that they are marijuana users and that they are professionals and the job that they hold without fear of being prosecuted, I think you would be surprised at the different people that would come out and admit to you that they do use marijuana. I don't know if your office has the ability to set up a toll-free number that cannot be traced so people can feel safe to tell you honestly, sir, you know, I've been in this industry for X amount of years and I've been using marijuana or not. But if you have to do that, if people feel safe to tell you the truth, I think you would be surprised at the number of doctors, lawyers, and yes, sir, even judges in this state that smoke marijuana.
Thank you very much. For those of you who would like to, we don't take anonymous testimony, you're very welcome to provide testimony. You can email it to what's our
PSUM comments at alaska.gov.
And let them know that by emailing you that they wouldn't have to be in fear of prosecution by simply giving you a statement as to whether or not they are professionals employed in the state of Alaska and use marijuana.
Well, I'm not aware of anybody who's going to be prosecuted based on testimony they've given in these hearings, and I know a number of people who have been regular users, medical users, growers, others who have testified here, and you know, I don't believe that's the state's intent at this point. I have had people tell me they did not want to testify because they would be admitting that they are using an illegal drug. And that's, you know, we've got a debate right now where you just, if you're admitting to a crime, you know, somebody may make note of that, but I can't offer an anonymity to testifiers. So,
sir, I was just saying that for future reference, if you were looking for a way to get people to say, you know, I do this for a living for X amount of years, not a marijuana smoker, just for to have those numbers available.
Well, I guess I'll put it this way. I don't have those numbers available, but if you have those numbers available and would like to supply them, we'll put them up on our website. You know, I'll say for everybody here who has testified, testifying is an act of courage, no matter which side you're on. And thank you for being part of the process.
And thank you, sir, and everyone that's there in person representing. Bless you. Have a good day.
Great. Thank you, Adele. Is Tim Minton online still?
Yes. Tim is online.
Okay.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yeah. Who is this?
This is Trin Minton.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sorry that your name had been transcribed wrong, but Trin, spell your first name for me.
Sorry, I dropped off for a second.
Yeah.
Can I go ahead?
Yes, and what's your first name? How do you spell your first name?
Trin.
Thank you. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi everyone. My name is Trin Minton, like I said. I am one of the physicians in town. Currently, I'm calling from Eagle River, and I vote against the ballot measure too. As a physician, I have seen the devastating effect of addiction to person, to family, to the society. As a family physician, I care for the all Alaska's health and well-being. We are not talking about medical marijuana. We're talking about legalizing the recreational marijuana commercialization and legalization and industrialization of this altering substance. It is not a harmless substance. In some ways, it reminds me when the big tobacco it was accepted law. Everybody was afraid of it. And now, half a year later, we find a chair where we say how devastating are the effects of the tobacco to our citizens. Having treated severe sickness, having telling patients that they have lung cancer, because once it was formed, it's found out now to be a very delicious effect. As Alaskans, we have a huge
problem would also go out of business. Why would we think that adding an legalizing a mind-altering that is addictive substance would bring any help? In Alaska, we have a problem with seniors, high schoolers not graduating from high school. The retention rate is low. Boy studies, we know that studies over and over have shown that regular cannabis use impairs the brain's ability to concentrate, impairs memory, causes a motivation. Motor vehicle accidents. Having known loved ones killed in a motor vehicle accident is a very tragic event. We know that cannabis decreases reaction time, impairs attention and risk assessment. We also know that the impairment of coordination, cognition, judgment lasts much longer than the subjective feeling of high. Drivers using cannabis are 2 to 7 times more likely to be responsible for accidents compared to not impaired drivers. These are just few issues what I want to bring out to you. I think us as Alaskans, we have the responsibility to be wise. We need to make wise decisions for your own, for your fellow neighbors, our younger generation. As a physician, as a mother, I cannot support the law which will increase the addiction process in Alaska. And I also think we do not need to be the next cannabis experiment in this nation. We need to learn from the states what are going ahead with this one, the effects of the they are dealing with. And thank you. I will vote no, and I urge all of you to be wise and to know what it will bring to Alaska's health and well-being. Thank you.
Dr. Minton, thank you very much. And thank you for your patience waiting a long list. We have one more person online, one more person in the room who signed up to testify. Jeff Russell in Chugiak. Jeff, main up. Hello? Okay. And I'm going to call Tammy Wilkes' name again. Is Tammy there? Is there anyone else online who wanted to testify? There's a Jason Hennings. Jason, are you online? Okay.
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Yeah, Jason, go ahead with your testimony, and then we've got Chris. Are you Chris? Yeah, we'll have Chris. Chris is on deck. Go ahead.
Well, thank you kindly, first off, Mr. Lieutenant Governor. I appreciate your time. I want to start by saying that I was a member of the United States Coast Guard, and I was an active player in the drug war. I personally did drug interdiction, and I saw the failures of our country, and I've seen the failures of the drug war. It does nothing but harm families. It does nothing but make criminals out of people who are doing something harmless, in some cases trying to support their families. Also, I want to talk about my own personal life and experience with medical marijuana. My spouse was raped 3 years ago. She was assaulted by someone that was fueled by alcohol. The only thing that has made it so that she can walk outside, that she can hold a job, is medical marijuana. It has helped her in ways that no other medication, and believe me, they've tried many, to do anything to get her to even be seen in public where she could go out. And medical marijuana has done this. To me, after my time doing drug interdiction, I can clearly say that everything that I have been told up to this point is wrong. And I truly do hope that we all can understand as a people that we need to give something a chance. Because in my opinion, the only big mistake is that we haven't done this sooner. And I hope that the opposition knows they are the mistake. That is all I would like to say.
Thank you. Just because I've got the master list here, can you give me your name again?
No problem. That is Jason Henning.
H-E-N-N-I-N-G?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. And where do you live?
Anchorage, Alaska.
Thank you. Okay. Well, Is there anyone else online who's been looking to testify? Hearing none, Chris, thank you for your patience here. Come on up. And, Chris, is it Nikolaski?
Nikolaski.
Chris Nikolaski.
When I was a kid, I struggled with depression. You know, in my whole teenage years, I was depressed. I took over a dozen medications throughout my teenage years. None of them worked. A lot of them made me feel like a robot. When I became an adult, I tried marijuana, and it helps. And I've done my research on it. It's been illegal for less than 100 years. The prohibition is ridiculous. Us that are fighting against prohibition, we're not going anywhere. In Alaska, you know, we got a lot working with us. We got a big state, big backyard, and we can make a big garden. And it would take 6% of the United States to grow enough cannabis to provide enough fuel to run the United States. 6%. That's why oil's against it. It was the number one medicine before chemicals came around. Got a 10,000-year history with it, guys. Why has it ended less than 100 years ago? I don't know, because some people are greedy. I suggest that we have a nonprofit to run cannabis, marijuana, everything to do with it, and pour money straight back into the community and not have a pipeline of money running straight out of our state like everything else ran in our state. It's all a pipeline of money running out of our state. Marijuana shouldn't be. Cannabis shouldn't be. We should harness it and use it for its benefit, which is everything from plastics that are biodegradable to those plastics are also hypoallergenic to just everything, anything and everything. Now I see marijuana policy project coming through. They're doing nothing. They're just sitting back kind of enjoying their vacation. You know, it's Alaska. They stated that they don't care. And I do. I work hard and I see my family, you know, AK Cannabis Club. And it's going to be community ran. It's, you know, we can all come together. We got less than a million people in this state. We can literally sit down and listen to everyone, taking everyone's ideas. And why aren't we? Because we're already up here arguing about one of the first debates. You mentioned gummy bears with 4 doses of THC. Well, THC was synthesized, and then you have Delta THC. It's ridiculous. A lot of this is GMO products. That nobody talks about that.
It's time.
Oh, my 3 minutes is up?
Yeah.
Okay.
But if you have a question, you can ask.
No, I'm good. I'm good.
Chris, thank you.
Oh, actually, I do have a question. Would you, as Lieutenant Governor, would you be opposed to having a community-based organization, which is to oversee everything, you know, marijuana, which has never been done before, to open up the doors for research facilities and cover the cost for the community that would like to start businesses, as in, hey, we got the finances for it.
Okay. So one of the questions that's come up, and it's occasioned by your testimony, is whether or not a community, right now you have communities in Alaska that can say, we don't want to have alcohol sales in our community, okay? And this law as it's proposed can say we don't want to have marijuana sales in the community. At least one community leader came to one of our hearings and said, we may use that in our community to only have the city own the dispensary. And the question was asked of the pro and the con side, what does the law say? What does the proposed law say? And obviously cities own alcohol dispensaries now around the state. We don't have state liquor stores statewide, but we have local ones. So presumably, or it's possible under the law, you could have you could have the ABC board qualify dispensaries only as nonprofit. It's possible that you could have them qualify them only as municipally owned. It's possible you could have them sold by lottery. It's the way that the ABC board would actually decide who has this is yet to be determined, and that's in that 9-month regulation process. That's as the way I've understood the law from listening to the hearing, and I was going to ask the pro and con side if they have anything, if what I've said is the way you see it, or is it any different?
Nothing in the bell ledger would contradict what you proposed there.
Okay. Christina?
Okay.
Yeah, and so in terms of your idea of having the community own it all, I'd tell you that if the bill passes, you could be right back at a bunch of hearings suggesting that, and there will be people suggesting that the understanding was that it would be a private enterprise, and you know that's a decision that'd be made down the road. So, I believe the answer to your question is the law would allow what you envision, and I'm not going to take a position one side or other on this bill. I've worked very hard in these hearings to try to be as neutral as possible to make sure you have a voice. So, thank you. All right, well, I now call this hearing to a close, and I just want to say thank you. We've had many people show up, many people testify. I do want to say that we did not spend as much time on the mechanics of the legislation as we have in several of the other hearings, so I would suggest that if you're concerned about the mechanics of the legislation, check the record, and that can be found at notice.alaska.gov. Our next hearing on this issue is 12 to 2 on Thursday at the Menard Sports Center in Wasilla. We will also be hearing on this measure in Bethel on Monday, September 29th from 12 to 2, and Tuesday in Fairbanks from 4 to 6 at the Assembly Chambers. We also have other hearings going on in the minimum wage measure and the Bristol Bay measure, and the next time we meet in this room will be tomorrow afternoon from 4 to 6 for an issue related to the Bristol Bay Forever Initiative. Thank you all very much, and I want to thank everybody online, the folks at the LIO, the state experts, and the people who've worked very hard on both sides to represent both sides. Thank you very much for being here today. Good night.
All right. Good night.